Hi. Awkward intro tonight, sorry. But before we start, I want to address the unexpected hiatus that the show went on for a couple of weeks. This won't have anything to do with video games, so if you're looking for video game and food chat, fast forward until you hear the music. If you've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio over the past few weeks, you've probably heard me talk about several times that my mom had been in and out of the hospital, including intensive care since February, really, when she had knee replacement surgery. I'm not going to overload you with the clinical details, but the diagnosis she ended up having and the main thing that she was battling was a condition called myasthenia gravis, which is a neurological condition that can cause droopy eyelids, trouble talking, and for most people, and I want to emphasize this, if you know anyone that has this, for most people, this ends up being pretty manageable and you can have a pretty normal life. But sometimes, and I think due to her age, this condition flares up in a crisis, and this means you can have extreme difficulty breathing to the point that you have to go on a ventilator. And that's why mom had been in the hospital for a few weeks. She had a crisis. She started improving. Meds caused another crisis. She started improving. She had other issues. So it was just kind of a back and forth. So a few days after the last episode we did, I got a phone call while at my day job that the lung muscles weren't getting better, and they were wanting to do a feeding tube so that the lung muscles could recover. Now, you have to remember that mom had been battling this condition for weeks and weeks on and off since February, and when she heard she had to get a feeding tube, that was the point where she said, I've had enough. She's not going to be kept alive by a tube, and really, the doctors couldn't guarantee that it would fend off another crisis for much longer than another couple weeks anyway. So my mom said she was done, meaning done. And I spent many hours at the hospital that week, and on Friday afternoon, she passed away, and my dad was there, and both my siblings were there, so at least we had time to gather and all be there. So for those not on Twitter or listening to Bobby, this is why I've been away and why the studio at the house has been dark. As you can imagine, this didn't put me in a good space for a little while. And I know that those that knew why we've been on hold, you understand, and I thank you for that, but, you know, I needed the time. My mom, in those final days, she stressed to us that we needed to get on with our lives, but the reality is that that's a step that's going to take time. This is something that I've heard from many of you who've been in a similar situation going through a loss of this magnitude, so I was really humbled to find out just how many people I knew had gone through something like this, and it's made me feel a lot less alone, and I know the future is going to be okay, even if it's changed. I know oftentimes we talk about the family that this regular Sunday night event has created over the past 15 years, and I mean it when I say you all have helped me with this, and this is why I want to be back here again tonight to keep this going. My mom should be remembered as someone that loved kids tremendously and always advocated for them. From her lifelong career of raising two generations of kids, then becoming a preschool teacher, then raising a third generation as a nanny. But I know many of you didn't get to know that, and will remember her from the few appearances she had on this show. She had a great sense of humor, and I'm really grateful you guys got to hear that. I could try and dedicate tonight's show to my mom, but that wouldn't be genuine, because every show I've ever done has been influenced by mom. From 15 years of this, Horde House, Pokestop, Guys on Show, Reading is Fundamental, Understation Live, Vanilla Sky, YouTubes, Twitches, all of it. Mom is always going to be there a little bit in everything that I do.
Tell the listeners about some good things I did. Didn't it make you proud when Orange Lounge Radio was in the newspaper and on the local news?
Uh-huh.
Good.
Very.
She sounds so convinced. All right, Mom, I appreciate you calling. I just wanted the listeners to see what my mom was really like, so there you go.
Well, she's like a female Rob.
Orange Lounge Radio. With your hosts, Dark Sakura, Sky, and Loki.
This This week, a surprise release has brought Res Infinite to the PC, supporting Oculus and Vive VR. Those with desktop VR can now enjoy the experience had by their PS4 VR owning friends. We have this and plenty more news to catch up on, and it all starts right now in the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight, August the 13th of 2017, with episode number 696 of our show, dedicated to video games, gaming culture, and the gamer lifestyle here at Studio N7 in lovely Sacramento, California. Myself, Rob Roberts, or Sky at SKIE on Twitter, with my co-hosts, Hello Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers.
Oh, hi.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
So, I know while we were on hiatus, you were doing some, I was calling it faux LR. You like that? You did some faux LR on your live stream. How did that go?
It went all right.
Yeah?
I decided to get some news and everything out of the way while I was trying to get all my streaming stuff put together because I hadn't done any streaming in a while.
Sure.
And I think it went okay.
Yeah. I did catch a little bit of it last week. So, and it looked like it was, you were playing Everybody's Gone to the Rapture, which...
Start to finish.
What's that?
Start to finish.
You play the whole thing in one sitting?
No.
Oh, I was going to say.
I played it in like three sittings.
Okay. Still though.
Because the whole thing, I was going to do Mass Effect Andromeda, and my game wouldn't load.
Oh, no.
So I still haven't reinstalled it. That just means how much I've been wanting to play Mass Effect Andromeda. So I'm going to probably give that a try again in the future. But right now I'm actually kind of getting more into the narration game. So next is going to be that Edith Finch.
Oh, whatever happened to Edith Finch?
Yeah.
I think it's called. Yeah. That game's great. I like this. I like the Dark Sakura plays emo games.
Yeah. I might, now, because I can do that in one sitting, I might do Dear Esther as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because that one was really pretty, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, Dear Esther's great, too. They just had a remake on PS4 of that not that long ago. So
I had this one period at work where I'd managed to get, like, flex time off. So I was off the phone for, like, 2 hours. Mm-hmm. So I played it on my Mac at work.
There you go. Why
not? It was great.
That's great.
Yeah.
What was it? There was another one I was going to suggest. Oh, you should be doing... you know, this. You know, we've been on break. It's been about 3 weeks since we did a show, and I feel like one of those games is kind of like come and gone. Is the Dream Daddy dating?
I have it.
Game.
I haven't started it.
I didn't pick that up yet because I just, you know, obviously the last 3 weeks have been pretty crazy. So I just kind of missed that whole boat.
Yeah.
So, but I feel like that's a game you should be streaming.
I'll make a daddy.
If you do pigeons, Jamie, why not daddy?
I still have more pigeons to do.
That's right.
But also, I'm thinking, I am level 72 now in Dragon Ball Xenoverse.
Oh, wow.
So I'm coming up to level cap, and, I just did like, I'll get into that for my gaming week, but,
sure, that's
but
fine.
Good Lord, I was going to start streaming some of that, but it's gotten kind of weird.
Okay.
And it is so off canon that it makes my brain hurt.
All right. Well, let's check in with Techmaster Loki joining us once again. How are you, Loki?
I'm fine.
Now, you got really sick over the break.
Yeah, fun times.
Yeah, because there was, I'm gonna be honest, there was a part of me that was thinking, should we do last week? You know, I was kind of on the fence last week. I was kind of like half ready, but I was a little worried, you know. But then what kind of sealed it for me was that I heard you were really sick, and it was like, all right, let's just...
I would have still done it, but I would have probably been coughing and wheezing, and you know, I still have like kind of like, I think they call it rails or whatever. It's basically, imagine the sensation of having like a carbonated beverage in your lungs.
I didn't want to do the show at 70%, 99.9%, nothing but almost the finest for our listeners, I think we're good. So
it would have been fine. It was great though, because like one thing that the one advantage of being that sick is I was able to do the like some evil Silent Hill voice or like the Ring voice or whatever you call that, like pretty. But I could do that like without like
and the grudge. See. It was the grudge.
The grudge. Yeah. Let me see. Like, see if I breathe out all the way. Sometimes I can. I mean, that's like my lungs right now.
It's okay.
It was much worse later on. Like, you could make a really gruesome sounding sounds. Like, oh my god, why are you at work? Go home, you know, that type of thing.
I believe you.
Do you remember when I had walking pneumonia? Like what, 6 years ago?
Oh yeah,
I believe that noise. Trust me.
Well, I don't know if it, like, see, I at least had bronchitis, but then the medicine wasn't really helping, so they put me on an antibiotic, which is normally what they do for pneumonia, and then it went away. So maybe I had pneumonia. They just never did anything to confirm it.
It's probably for the best if you had all that you didn't show up here at the house.
Yes.
Because, you know, the last thing I needed the past couple weeks was to be sick. But I'm glad you're doing better. So
pneumonia's not contagious, thankfully.
I overheard Bobby talking to you before the show tonight, and I know he was razzing you a little bit because you didn't really get to work on your game, although then he felt bad because you were sick. So it was like, oh,
I tried. I had the laptop in my lap, and I was just exhausted because I don't sleep a lot as it is. And then, you know, constantly coughing and trying to, like, force yourself not to be just, like, coughing all the time. Because when you're coughing that much, then it makes your airways get tighter, which means I have to use the inhaler, which wasn't working that well. And it was just, it was a mess. And so, like, I really wanted to, but my brain just is like, I can't do this. And even last night, like, I was like, okay, I'm going to work on something. I need to do something. And I can't. I just need the rest, I guess. I don't know, but I want to. I've been trying every day. It's just brain has not wanted to do that.
Yeah, I understand. You know, we got to give you a little crap, though, once in a while.
No, I understand. I completely understand. And I do want to work on stuff. Actually, right now, being that, of course, I didn't make the game jam, which I kind of knew from before I started the game jam, that wasn't going to happen. And
we all knew, Loki. We all knew.
And being sick didn't help, you know, on top of that. But now I'm kind of at the point, like, okay, well, what do I work on now? Do I finish what I was working on? Everyone keeps bugging me to work on that It's Time the Car game. Should I do that? Should I do the other thing I was working on? It's like, I'm kind of like, what do I want to work on now? I don't know. So I have to figure that out.
All right. Well, good luck trying to figure that out. I do want to introduce our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com because we do tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show at the Voice Geeks Network, vognetwork.com, where Bobby says, coding while sick sucks. I've had to do that before because they were paying me to, but if they weren't paying me to, nope.
Yeah, and speaking about, like, sleeping, you know, I couldn't sleep very well either, so that, you know, that just didn't help. And then I was working on top of that, so, you know, I do want to it's hard to motivate myself. It's really hard to stay motivated because by the end of the day, after the kids, because the kids are so fucking draining, it's just like I have no energy left to, and trying to, like, do critical thinking and, like, thinking in that coding, it's really hard. Much, you know, I have so much respect for people that actually do that, have a family, or they abandon their family to work on a game for a while. You know, seriously, there's so much respect for those people.
Looking at chat, Hitstun says, I tried to do Ludum Dare. Did I pronounce that right? Ludum Dare? I think that's right. A couple weeks ago, and I couldn't finish the game. Had to work the Sunday. So it happens. It happens. Real life gets in the way sometimes. I mean, there was a lot of things I wanted to do over the past couple weeks, and, you know, just a lot of that got put on hold. I was hoping finally this year I was going to get to California Extreme, because I haven't been to California Extreme in like 6 years, but obviously everything that happened. And by the way, I do want to just acknowledge a lot of you saying very, very nice things about the intro to tonight's show. So just thank you very much. I'm really feeling it all, so thank you. So I wanted to go to California Extreme, but obviously I couldn't. And, you know, but Dark Soccer, you got to go to California Extreme. Did you have I know this was like
time
2 weeks ago at this point, but did you have a good time?
Yeah, I had a really good time.
Yeah.
Got to play all kinds of things. I took pictures of everything that I played, but I played Journey for you.
Of course. Good. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that.
I really didn't play any of the Bamani, I'll be honest.
That's all right.
I had just come out of the cast, so I was wearing my walking boot. And it threw me way off balance a bit, but
I would have liked to seen some of the panels. I don't know if you do that stuff, but some of the classic game designers, I would have really been into that. So
they have panels there now?
I don't think they do a ton. They have like one room and they have like three or four panels, but, you know,
Steve Ritchie did a panel this year for, cause he designed the new, Star Wars pinball.
Oh, I'm confusing Classic Game Expo with this. That's one.
Sorry. I just realized I was mixing up my companies now.
That's okay.
But no, he did he did the new Star Wars pinball, which I got to play. It was pretty neat.
Nice. Great. All right, well, we'll get into more of our Gaming Weeks and stuff we've been playing a little later, but I want to get in kickoff topic first. I do want to also say one thing I did do that was productive is I got a new mic to replace, because you guys might remember I was having some serious mic problems in the last couple episodes. So I did get a new mic, so I might sound a little different. Just let me know if it sounds weird. It was running a little quiet in tests, so I've tried to bump it up a bit, but I think we have it at a good point. Just let me know if it sounds weird to you guys over in our live chat room, because it is live radio. Sometimes we have to fix things on the fly. Speaking of live stuff, I will be back on Twitch. Twitch has been on hold this entire time as well. The last Twitch stream I did was the Splatoon thing I did after the last episode we did, so Twitch will be back tonight as well, so I want to just throw that out there as well. So anyway, let's talk about kickoff topic tonight. One game that is kind of coming back all over again. This is very interesting. A lot of updates with this game. Jamie, you had a story about this, right? With No Man's Sky?
Yes.
Yeah. Tell us about it.
What, with the No Man's Sky?
Yeah. The remake.
Oh, wait.
Well, not the remake, but like...
The Atlas Rises update.
Yeah, a little update that's going on. You know a little bit about this, right, Logie?
Yeah, so they've been doing like updates. They had a couple before this that kind of improved. They had the whole, you know, building of your own bases and stuff. But now they have a whole bunch of new stuff added. So they've kind of revamped the whole storyline, added improvements to their mission system, the economies, and also... some other fun stuff. So one thing, they have options now for galactic regeneration. So when you finish the game, it doesn't just give you like a random world. It's, you know, more of like a... you have different ways that you can do it. Like, I think one of the ones I saw was more of like a... less hostile universe or something like that. I think was one of the options.
Yeah, they did that. That was one of the patches they did, like the 1.1 patch or something like that. They had a version where you could do creative mode, basically. This is like it's
well,
like Minecraft.
That too. Yeah. This is more of like once you finish the game, it regenerates everything. They added new biomes, so now there's new planets, new stuff that actually looks different. They actually have the sandworms now, finally, like in the trailer. Those are actually a thing now. Oh, go ahead.
There's that pseudo multiplayer.
Yes.
Joint exploration.
Yeah, you had something on this where like people finally did something that they were trying to do a year ago, right?
Yeah, meet up at the same location.
Yeah.
Problem is, though, that's kind of still very basic. It reminds me a lot of like, I don't know if you remember in Fable and stuff, when you were playing, you'd see like a spark flying around and that was the other player. And then you could join in your game and that, well, except this, you can't actually join in the game. There's not really anything that you can do. What your impact on the environment doesn't necessarily show up on their screen. However, that's one of the other things that they add is you can actually modify the environment. So you can actually kind of draw with like voxels and stuff in the game to like create your own landmarks and things, which is kind of cool. They added, you know, new trading, new NPCs, huge crashed ships. And I want to say, I think there was... different units, harvesters, you know, more weapon types. I mean, it's just a lot of shit. Visual improvements, like 4K textures now, higher resolution textures. And it's on sale on PC at least. I think it's, I don't know what it is on PlayStation 4 right now. I have it on PlayStation 4.
Just look in your nearby clearance bin. It's showing up a lot of those places. I'm not trying to be a bitch. Like, that's just the reality. Like, you know, obviously this game had some serious...
It needed more time.
Yeah, when it had some serious blowback when it first came out, and, you know, that caused the price to drop significantly. Now, you guys know how it was. I didn't buy into the hype beforehand, so I didn't listen to any of the promises or any of that stuff. And when I bought the game, I was fine with it. You know, I didn't like love it. I didn't hate it though. But like some people like really, really hated it. So I did pop it in yesterday to take a look at it with some of the changes. And I do have to say, I was like, okay, wow, yeah, because I found one of those big crashed ships because now there's a story that takes you to one in the opening sequence of the game. And so I was like, okay, this is different. This is like a lot of like changed stuff.
Yeah, I think they have a whole other storyline as well.
They do. They do. They now, like, in the beginning of the game, you're not just like stranded with no explanation. You're actually kind of handheld a little bit. The game gives you quests like, here's how to fix your gun. Here's how to fix your ship. And it kind of handholds you through those opening sequences of the game so you understand a little better what's going on. So, I mean, the game's kind of changed all that. But let me ask both of you guys, does it matter at this point? Because I think that's the biggest thing most people are struck with, is that most people have made up their mind on No Man's Sky. And here we are a year after the fact.
I think it does actually. I think it does, because you look at, like, even the reviews on Steam. The reviews weren't very positive on Steam, I think, when it came out. And now they're mostly positive. I mean, it has made an impact. People are liking the changes that they're doing with it. And I think, yeah, it does. It's not going to be like, oh, this is not going to, you know, sell a ton of units in the beginning, because you can't go back in time. But I think that as far as, you know, keeping it going and stuff, it is going to make a difference. It's nice to see them actually putting the effort in to fix the game. And now it's kind of looking more like what they were originally proposing.
Jamie, I can't recall if you played the game a year ago. I feel like you didn't really. Yeah. But does all this news about the changes and updates, does it kind of make you go, oh, maybe now it's worth my time?
Nope.
No?
Not really. I'm glad for the people who enjoy the game. I just thought it was neat that, you know, after all this time, they're finally implementing the things that people had asked for.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, it's not enough to make me want to play it. I've got other things in my queue.
Hmm. Is anyone surprised that the creators of this game didn't just, because I have to admit a little bit, like, I'm a little surprised that they didn't just shelve it at some point, you know, and say, okay, we did our best. It wasn't good enough. We're going to just, lessons learned for our new project, which we're starting.
You know, honestly, I could see that's a very easy option, but, you know, it's good for them to actually put out a polish, you know, at least get it to where it needs to be. Because people are they're going to remember it was a clusterfuck to begin with, but they're also going to remember that they actually took the time to fix all that stuff. And that says a lot, because there's a lot of big publishers out there that will release games, and they'll never fix them. Like Avalanche and Just Cause 3. I mean, that took forever to get fixed, and it's still not very fixed.
So do you think this gives this guy, Sean Murray, right, from Hello Games, do you think it, because, you know, obviously, he's the guy that a lot of internet people are taking issue with because of all these promises that they felt were unfulfilled. Do you think this gives him some credit back that, well, he fulfilled a good chunk of them a year later? It took a year, but
it helps. It's better than if he didn't. Because if he didn't, then if he's going to come out with his next game or whatever, people are going to be like, I'm not going to believe that shit.
Yeah.
But then again, there's Peter Molyneux, and he used to make all sorts of wild fucking accusations of shit that he was going to have in his game, and he didn't fulfill that shit time after time. So, and people seem to buy his games just fine. I don't know. Maybe it's just, it definitely helps. So it's good to see that they're doing that.
Let's look at some of the comments in chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Bobby Blackwell says the Steam reviews got curated more to only be people who bought the game and didn't refund that. He actually said either that or the Steam reviews. And then after that, the people who had negative reviews got negated when they refunded. So that could be something, is that, you know, I think what Steam does, it kind of, at least when I was looking at it in the store, because I contemplated double dipping on PC. I did. I didn't do it, but I did contemplate it.
Because it is on sale for like $23
right
now.
It is on sale for $23. I noticed that it showed, you know, this percent was negative, but on top of that, it says like 80%, 75% within the last 30 days are positive. And it was highlighting that almost more so than the other figure. And I thought that was interesting. So it does kind of show that.
And I'm still thinking about it, but I'm like, do I really need to buy another game? I have this on PlayStation 4. I do like the fact that it looks nicer on PC. I have a PC that can run it nice now. It is tempting.
Kaijudo in chat says, I love the OG No Man's Sky. Haven't tried the new version yet. Gamers suck. I'm not surprised they didn't abandon the game, because I've seen many devs do this. They always backpedal for gamer babies.
I think, honestly, though, I think he had good, great plans for this. He needed more time. Sony pushed them to release it. And that's time after time again, we see that it's these publishers pushing people to release these games, and they're not quite ready to release them yet.
That's true. probably true, because the PlayStation 4, I seem to remember that year, didn't have a lot of big games coming out. So No Man's Sky was really pushed as a God of War level type release,
yeah.
Right? And so, okay, I could see that. And but the game had already been delayed several times, hadn't it?
Right, but I think, didn't it come out in the summer? And we kind of thought it was supposed to be a fourth quarter type
yeah,
game.
Yeah, it would have probably been better off at holiday when they could have got some of that other stuff in there for sure. So, yeah, be very interesting how much did that influence play into it for sure. Well, anyway, it sounds like, you know, with some of these, I kind of think if you've never played the game, if you like those type of Minecraft open world buildy games, I think there might be something here for you, especially, you know, now that there's like a story that kind of gives it like, there was kind of a story before, but it was kind of,
there's more stuff to do now.
Exactly. It just feels more fleshed out now. Like, it feels like you're not just left in space for the sake of being left in space. You know, you have a framework for what's going on. So I feel like there's a sufficient amount of hand-holding, yet you're still able to do whatever the hell you want to do. You can ignore all that stuff completely if you want and just build whatever you want. So, so I think the game's worth checking out if you haven't checked it out, if you're into those type of games. But if you're not into those type of games, I'm not sure there's anything here that's like going to sway your mind on it. Like, if you're not into the Minecraft type of games, this might not be for you. So, you know, there's that to consider as well. But I did like that you could kind of like build stuff now. Like, it felt more Minecraft like that. Like, I built a beacon to find something that I was, it's all part of a story, but like, I was building things that I don't remember being able to do in the first release of the game, or it was a lot more difficult because you could kind of build, but it was very clunky in the inventory interface, and that part's kind
of
gone.
Well, they even fixed a lot of the inventory stuff where now the inventory actually stacks.
Well, yeah. Like, yes, yes, like, that happens.
Thank you.
And as part of the story, it handholds you through the process of expanding your inventory. It's not something you're left to your own devices to figure out like you were before. When it was like, then it kind of spread around like, oh, if you find one of these things, ask it to locate a drop-off or whatever, and you can expand your inventory that way. Like, they handhold you through that now, which is nice. So I think more people will kind of be into it if they didn't get to see it the first time. And now it's, what, only $23 to do it. So yay. Or even cheaper, probably, if you can find it on PlayStation 4 or somewhere else. So, all right. So No Man's Sky got updated. Check it out if you think that's something you'd be into. Meanwhile, let's talk about what games we have been playing. We always like to do towards the top of the show a little bit of how was your gaming week. Obviously, I know it's been a few weeks. So how is your gaming time, Dark Sakura? How is your gaming time?
Oh, gosh. I played all the games.
You know, and since we're covering a big period, we don't have to name every single game. Just kind of your highlights, if you want.
Goodness. Well, I played Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2 because I'm still playing it. I finished Everybody's Gone to the Rapture. I tried to play Mass Effect Andromeda. That didn't happen. I played a lot of pinball. I've played Star Wars. I've played Star Trek The Next Generation.
You guys have had new machines going in and out of that house of yours,
just
too.
One new machine that was ours.
Oh, I thought it was other ones, too. Maybe you were posting clips playing at somebody else's house or something.
Well, we've been borrowing Cactus Canyon and continued for a while. And then we picked up our own Star Trek, the new one. But at the little pinball thing, I played Ghostbusters, which was really fun. Bride of Pinbot 2.0, Black Knight 2000. I played some older ones like the Bite of the Snake or something. Medusa, you know, kind of classic. Also played the new Aerosmith table. That was pretty fun. I'm just trying to see if I can get like an overview of some of the other things I played. Which, of course, I played Big Bang Bar. Space Fury. You remember Space Fury? I love that game. They had that ginormous Space Invaders as well.
Isn't that a ticket spitter game now? That giant Space Invaders? They have one at Round 1. I've seen it at Round 1. I think they have one over at that Strikes in Rockland. They have the big...
Yeah, play with kind of like a cannon controller.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't that a ticket... I think it's a ticket spitter now.
It's neat, whatever it is. Yeah. I played one of the P3 tables, which was... Hold on. Lexi Lightspeed. The P3 tables are supposed to be these modular tables that have video screens on the playfield.
Oh.
And it was pretty neat. It was a fun game.
Is that like the hologram alien thing they had a while? No, different?
No, that's okay. Different. This actually has like a full video screen.
Huh.
So there was Journey. There was, oh yeah, they had a Fantasy Zone 2 machine.
Wow.
And it was so much fun because I love Fantasy Zone. It was the Tears of Opa Opa. I played Elvira. Willow. The Capcom side-scrolling.
Oh,
Willow.
Wow. Not the arcade version of Willow was very different than the NES version. It was kind of one of those,
yeah,
like Strider, too, where the arcade and the home versions were very
it
different.
It has more in common with Three Wonders, that same art style and everything.
Yeah, it does.
I played America's Most Haunted for pinball. Sky Shark.
Isn't America's Most Haunted, is that the Ben Heck table? I think that's the Ben Heck table.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, but it was supposed to be like based off of Scooby-Doo, but they couldn't get licensing or whatnot. It was weird. Sky Shark, I played because I love Sky Shark. It's like one of my favorite old, you know, war shooting plane games. Krull, Pac-Man and Chomp Chomp, which I don't know if that's anything official, but it was fun. Crazy Auto. You know what Crazy Auto is, right?
Was that Crazy Climber with a
no.
hack?
Crazy Auto was what turned into Miss Pac-Man.
Right. Right, 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 right.
And someone had like one of the smaller machines set up with like a big ROM hack for Crazy Auto.
How was the turnout at the event?
It was busy. It was busy. They moved a lot of games into another room. There was Gemini Wing, Uapoco, which is another puzzle game. They had a Vectrex upstairs. And console games. So Dan was playing the Vectrex.
Nice. So you played a lot.
Yeah, Hyperball. They had a Hyperball that was actually working.
Nice.
Black Rose Pinball. I'm just trying. Oh, yeah, they had the Loop in the Third typing game, which they have every year. Level 255.
But not Typing of the Dead.
No.
That's unfortunate.
Level 255, you know what that is?
That is the Pac-Man thingy, right?
Yes.
Yes, because of the... It like does it jump you right to the last level or is it
like right before that? I think.
Yeah.
So. It's meant to simulate it. There was just all kinds of fun stuff there, really nice. Fun stuff. But Dan and I are more thinking that it might be time to start selling some of the collection because there's people are paying bucks for it.
Yeah,
and we've got lots of stuff in the box. So if anyone wants to give me $500, you too can own a Ninja Gaiden trilogy in the box. Just saying.
Good to know. Good to know. All right, so Dark Talk has been very busy. Loki, how was your gaming time?
I was not busy, unfortunately. I did not play anything because, once again, I was trying to focus on actually making a game, and that just wasn't happening.
Well, and you got bronchitis.
And so, I got bronchitis. Yeah. But no, I did want to play stuff. I ended up playing Legos more than I did anything, so...
Like the Lego Dimensions game, or you mean
no,
like
Legos? Like Legos. I got out my Legos from like when I was a kid and made my kids play with them, and now they love Legos. And we have a Lego store in our town. Actually, there's a store called Five Star Bricks, and they sell Legos. So I bought my Lego Loki finally because I've been trying to get a Loki minifig for like forever. And so I got that, and they have like this cool booth that like it's like a bin with a bunch of minifig parts, and so you can build your own minifig for like $3. And so my kids had fun doing that because they made their own custom minifig and everything. And they have birthday parties there. I'm like, dude, I should have my birthday here. This is fucking awesome.
Good job getting your kids on Lego at a young age, though.
Yeah, hell yeah. Because, I mean, I had all this stuff. I'm like, come on, you guys. Don't you want to play this? And, like, my son just doesn't want to build. He wants me to build everything for him. And he got a bunch of Legos for his birthday, too. And so I made him put one of the sets together. I'm like, you're going to put this together. I'll help you, but you need to do this yourself. I can't do everything for you.
Good
and
job.
He did it, and he felt very rewarded by that. He's
good.
Like, I put this together, you know?
Good.
So that was kind of fun. As far as actual games I played that stupid cell phone clicker game for Office Space. I am having a serious addiction problem with that game. Like, I can't stop playing it, even though I don't want to sometimes. But it's entertaining, I guess. They keep every single like time they do these like little events, they keep changing the rules for them, so it mixes it up a bit, I guess. But I don't know. Sometimes it's just irritating. Thankfully, this last one they did, I was able to complete the event in like 2 hours instead of 5 days, so that was kind of nice. I don't know. Aside from that, I really didn't play anything. I've been meaning to play VR and actually do the super hot VR because I have that for PlayStation VR. Haven't got a chance to do that. I've been on the fence about buying an Oculus Rift. I really don't have the money for it, but I'm still thinking about doing it anyways. I'm like, but I'm like, am I going to use it?
Responsibility.
I may just wait and eat the extra $100 or whatever, wait for Black Friday or something like that. I don't know, but it's very tempting.
That's where I'm at with the 4K, because, you know, I have 4K monitor now. That was a purchase I made, I think, right before the last show. Now it's like, oh, I need to get a better video card so I can play Destiny 2.
Well, yes, you should get a better video card. That's actually something that's worthwhile, whereas
yes.
an Oculus, that's something you'll use every time yes, you use your computer.
But I'm in that predicament where it's like, do I buy one now, or do I wait for those inevitable, whatever that new one is that's coming out, like Titan or whatever, is like, you know, there's a new one coming out in like a month. And so I got to wait for that so that the prices of the other ones kind of come down. Because right now, like, well, a 1080 is like $800.
You don't need a 1080. A 1070 would be fine enough.
Well, that's still like $400, I think, a 1070.
I have a 1060 in this laptop.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah, so.
Nice.
And it's yeah, it's fucking nice.
I have a 970 now. So I can get away with like 2K graphics on my monitor. So like Overwatch, Final Fantasy 14, all those games look a little better. The only game I can play in full 4K and it runs fine is Diablo 3. But it's because I think that game is kind of, you know, it's a few years old at this point, and I think there's less going on. But that's the only game I can play in the full 4K.
Yeah, the AMD, they have new AMD cards coming out. They're supposed to be pretty good. And AMD's been putting out a lot of stuff that's been a little bit cheaper, especially with the Ryzen cards and everything, or Ryzen chips.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully there's going to be more competition with that. But yeah, the 1070 is a pretty nice card. Honestly, you know, I was like, well, the laptop, I mean, 1060 is probably good because this is only a 1080p monitor. So it's like, probably don't need much more than that. I mean, yeah. It plays everything fine.
Yeah. So, okay. All right. Well, we'll see. We'll see. All right. My gaming time. So let's see. Gosh, I've been playing a lot. One game that I found myself playing until the wee hours of the morning over the past couple weeks was Diablo 3, funny enough. I think there's something about, like, and you were kind of mentioning this when you're talking about you're sick and you don't really want to, like, have to think a lot. I think with Diablo 3, you just really have to, like, click, 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 and get loot. Click, click, click.
Yeah, exactly. That's like, all I was it is, even, right? Like, the other day, yesterday, actually, I was sitting there and I'm like, I see my Overwatch icon, and I'm like, I haven't played Overwatch in like a month. I'm like, I should go play Overwatch. And I'm like, but the controller's all the way over there. It's like, I just don't want to do that.
So you know how Diablo has the seasons and you can do a fresh start. So on PC, some of my friends are playing on PlayStation 4 and they want me to play over there. So I started a character. I got it to about level 30, but I just haven't been able to connect with them online. But PC is very convenient for me to play. So I started a character on PC probably that Monday of the week after mom passed and I was off work. I started a character and I am now at Paragon 270 for the season. So just to give you an idea how much I've been playing Diablo 3, it's been quite a little bit. That was a big game time sink. I've been playing some of the usual stuff too, Final Fantasy 14. I did play some new stuff as well, I should point out. Shane came over yesterday, and he has on his PlayStation 4, he downloaded from the Hong Kong PlayStation store DJ Max Respect, because that's not here in the U.S. yet, and I don't know if it's actually getting released or whatever. Whatever.
It is. I thought it was.
It's hard to tell. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't understand.
Yeah, it's all region-free.
I don't understand why these games can't just come out at the same time, since, yes, it's region-free. But he had to do this whole thing where he had to buy a card that was Hong Kong dollars on PlayStation. He had to create a new account and do this. He got it and all this stuff, but it's just like, it just seems so tedious when it's like, why can't they just, it's got to have something to do with music licensing, I'm sure, for a game like that. But gosh, just figure it out, or I don't know. But anyway, so I did get to play the game. Long story short, I did get to play DJ Max Respect. And I thought it's cool because, you know, it's basically Beatmania 2DX, but on your controller. And obviously there's no turntable. And it's interesting because they have a 4-button mode, a 5-button mode, and a 6-button mode. So it's like in 4 buttons, it's left on D-pad, up on D-pad, triangle, and circle. And then in 5-button mode, you can use right or square for the 5th button. And then in 6-button, it's right and square separate. So it's, you know, the falling notes, and you hit them in time with the music. And, you know, it's a well-done music game. I enjoyed what I played with it. And I was kind of like, I want this, but I just don't want to have to jump through all these stupid hoops. So I guess I could get a physical edition. I think only one store online that I know of has a physical edition, and it's a place I really don't want to shop unless I like have to. So I'm kind of waiting to see. I guess the game is coming out in Japan in a couple months, so I'm waiting to see if the Japanese version might be English language still, or how that'll work. So we'll see. I just hope there's going to be a U.S. release of the game eventually, because there's obviously enough DJ Max fans here and music game fans to substantiate it. So it would be nice for that to happen. So that was something new that I played. Otherwise, still some old favorites. I should mention Pokemon Go, because that whole raid stuff, that was very, very motivating in actually leaving the house. I left the house probably for the first time after a few days to go catch a Moltres. So I did. It didn't end up appraising as a wonder, so that was disappointing. But at least I finally freaking caught one, so that was nice. So I did get one of each, because we went around yesterday and got Zapdos. So that way we have them all. Yeah, I had to buy some raid passes to do it because we didn't get it on the first try, but I was able to get it eventually. And I got to say, it's been very interesting through this whole thing with Pokemon Go and all these changes through the past few weeks. Like, there's this Discord for Pokemon Go that you can join for local, like Sacramento, to find other raiders and stuff. And it just blew up. Like, it blew up in just a matter of days. Like, there's thousands of people on it. It's pretty crazy. And so that's a good way to, like, find people in the suburbs where I live. To find raiding. But you know what we found was easier? Because we ran into some really, like, just what happens when you get a big group of nerds together. There are some people that don't wait for others to show up before they just go and raid, you know, and it's like too bad, so sad for you and other stuff. So honestly, like, Alan and I just had better luck. We went downtown and just went to where we saw Zapdos, and like, we would have a full group in 10 minutes. Like, we walked up to where Zapdos had just spawned. There was already, as we walked up, we saw people tapping their phones. So we're like, oh, great. They're already in. We missed it. Oh, well. But Alan was like, no, we'll just hang out for a minute. So I was like, all right. So we hung out, and within 15 minutes, we had 20 people, a full group, ready to do it again, which we were the first ones to show up for that. So it's like, downtown was the place to be at, because that's just where nonstop groups are forming. So I'm going to remember that for the future for any other raids they might end up releasing. Although I would imagine this whole thing's taking a break after Monday with all the kids being back in school and all that. Lugia might still be around. I think they might keep one of the 5-star raids just so people can get those rewards. But I think for the most part, you know, raiding.
I haven't gotten any of the.
I feel like this can't be the only chance. They'll come back.
I don't care anymore, honestly. Like, I'm over it. And it's taken me a while. Like, I was kind of still playing it casually, and I may still do that now, because now that my kid's going to be back in school later this week, it's good to kill time, because I can, you know, spin the Pokestop. Because apparently his school is also a park, and so it bypassed that rule that it's not supposed to be in the school, but there's a Pokestop right at the school.
Uh-oh.
And so I spin the Pokestop while I wait there in the morning for his, you know, class to start. But, you know, that's really the only reason I was doing that. But now, like, actually, I have so many Pokeballs, I have to throw them away in order to be able to spin it again. So
oh, no.
Like, yeah, I have, like, 170 Pokeballs, so...
get a clicker, like I have the Pokemon Go Plus.
They had those. I saw them the other day. Yeah, they had them at like Target.
They're not hard to find.
And then I'm like, should I get one just to cheat?
It's not cheating. It's not worth it. It's not cheating. It's an official product. It's not cheating.
No, I'm going to open it up and I'm going to solder actual click. So every time that it notifies me that there's something there, it automatically clicks it.
I believe that exists already. It's called a gotcha or something. Charles, who was on our last show when he was talking about he has one of those things. He says it's like a bracelet, and I don't think you have to do anything with it. It's like a gotcha or something. I forget what the name of it is, but I remember looking it up. I can figure it out for you. But like that product already exists, actually.
Well, I talked about that before that product even came out, so yeah, I was like, oh, this is how it's going to work.
All right. In chat, SSG100 Matt says, there are rumors that they will introduce Mew during the Japanese Pokemon Go event this week. I worry some of that might just be wishful thinking. Because
what they have was it the low-effort shiny Pikachu.
We
made the black into gray. Woo!
I do wish other shinies they would kind of roll out. Or I'm okay if they take a break from the legendaries and decide to do, you know, to save Mew and Mewtwo for winter or holiday break or something, and they kind of...
How long did that take their artists? Find replays.
Oh,
I mean,
stop.
Seriously.
Well, that's how it was in the original games, so it's not like it's that different.
I did see there was an article I saw that there was a group of people that actually took down one of the Magikarp ones with Magikarp. The one the Magikarp rapes.
Oh, nice.
So that's pretty funny.
Same type attack bonus.
I would have liked to see that, yeah.
Nice. All right. Anyway, so that's enough about my gaming time. So that was some of the stuff I played in the break. So and then No Man's Sky, as I mentioned a minute ago. Let's talk about housekeeping a little bit, because I do have some kind of big updates that are important I have to communicate during the housekeeping here. So I am going to be at Dragon Con in a few weeks. That is still on. So unfortunately, we will be off over Labor Day weekend, which is just I think it's like 3 weeks from today. Yeah, it's 3 weeks from today. So we have two more episodes and we'll be gone for Dragon Con. That one's always been a planned break. I will be at Dragon Con, really excited to be a part of Dragon Con. And I'm going to be on 3 panels this year, tentatively. Anything can change the last minute. I'll get you more information about all that in an upcoming Vogue article. Yeah, if you're going to be near the podcasting track, definitely come to some of those panels and say hi. I'd love to meet folks from OLR that are going to be in the Atlanta area. So Dragon Con is still happening. Unfortunately, because of what happened with Mom passing and me having to take a lot of time away to do that, I am having to cancel other trips, because just unfortunately it's one of those things where I ran out the bank of time off and money and all that stuff, and so I just do not have the resources to make some things happen. And one of those things is MAGFest 2018. I'm not going to be going, so that's a bummer, but I hope you guys that do go have a great time. So I won't be going to MAGFest this year. I did hear about all the ticket sales and some of the issues that caused. I made this decision independent of all that, so it's not related to that, but I hope they're able to work that out. And the other thing, I was planning to go to New York in October for a wedding. I'm having to call that off as well, which is a real bummer, because I wanted to go see people in New York, because I haven't been to New York in like 10 years, but I'm sure everybody understands I have to make the tough call. So hopefully I can reschedule for next year. I can go visit my friend that's getting married and her at that point will be newlywed husband, and then make a trip out of it at that point. But for now, pretty much everything that isn't Dragon Con is canceled for the rest of the year. But I'm hoping to do some other expos next year. So we'll look forward to that. So, all right. I think that's all I have for housekeeping. So let's get into some more gaming news, of which there's been a little bit. So let's go to Loki.
Yes, this is kind of cool, because I remember when I actually tried to compete in this way back in the day, back in the 90s. So the Nintendo World Championships, they're having qualifiers for the 2017 championships. The qualifier will be Mario Kart 7, and you're going to have to play it in time trials. They have two different age brackets, so...
Hold up, aren't we up to Mario Kart 8?
But we can't forget about the 3DS, the true portable system that they have, the brand new portable system from Nintendo.
I see. Yeah. Okay, continue.
I mean, I don't know why they didn't just do the Switch version.
That was the first thing I noticed when I went to that page. I was like, Mario Kart 7? Is that a typo? Aren't they supposed to be selling the new one, Mario Kart 8?
You'd think, but I don't know.
Is that because there haven't been quality 3DS games in a long time? Oh yeah, I went there. I sure did. No, I'm also
it's
just
to get
being
you hyped
shady.
About Mario Kart 7 Deluxe on the Switch.
Don't even.
Anyway,
right, fair enough. Look, I'll stop being shady for it. I get a lot of kids probably still play the portable one. All right, whatever, cool.
Yeah, so they're going to do it in two age brackets. There's going to be 12 and younger and 13 and older. And, of course, these are going to be located at Best Buy in the select cities. So August 19th and 20th, you can do that at New York and San Jose. 26th and 27th, Chicago and L.A., September 2nd and 3rd, Minneapolis and Dallas, and finally September 9th and 10th, Seattle and Miami. And then from there, if you do happen to make it in there, then you actually, I guess, get to go to the actual championships, wherever the hell that's supposed to be. And they do have a specific race that you're doing, I want to say, Luigi's Mansion, and I guess the younger players will get to play as Mario, and then the older players have to race as Bowser, or race Bowser's castle as Bowser.
So it's already set, so you know it's not going to be a surprise. You know exactly what you have to do.
Yeah.
Then it's not a special cartridge like the old school championship.
They should make them play old-ass games. Make them play the fucking old-ass world championship game.
Well, they might in the finals.
Fuck could the be... finals. That should be the actual qualifier. That's what it was. That was the qualifier.
What about here's a perfect medium. What about NES Remix?
How about a new game?
Well, that may show up. Wasn't the whole point when they brought it back a couple years ago, wasn't the whole point to introduce Mario Maker? And that ended up being like the last level, right? Was they played Mario Maker because there was those memes where the guy went through the door and like there was all these like he was like, nope, and he noped out. Remember that? That was yeah, like, live. Sir. Yeah, because what Kevin Pereira was hosting, and he did a competent job and all that. He was good. And yeah, so I remember that. That was Mario Maker was a big thing. So this kind of has a lot of people asking, what are they pushing with this?
Zelda Maker, please Zelda Maker, or Metroid Maker, or
Super
Mario
Smash Brothers.
Kart Maker?
This seems to be the wrong forum to
Smash Maker?
I don't know. That's the big question going through my mind. Like, don't get me wrong. I think it's cool that this tournament should have always been
with
a
their track thing. Record, it's gonna be fucking Pikmin Maker or some shit like that. I mean,
stop.
Terrible Pikmin. Let's release multiple games for that, but Metroid and F-Zero, fuck those guys.
Well, we do know, okay, so they're advertising, if you go to Best Buy to do the tournament and all this stuff, you get to play, they will have Mario Odyssey there, as well as the new Metroid 2 game on 3DS, the new, you know, the one that they're, not Metroid Zero, but Metroid 2 in Zero style, right, on the 3DS, that whole thing. So both those games are going
to
be there and
play. Well, by the time it gets to the last city there, it's practically out anyways. I mean, I guess that's cool that they're doing... Whatever, that's fine that they're doing that.
Is Mario Odyssey the big title? Is this whole thing to push Mario Odyssey? Is that going to be the last game played?
Don't think, but like if you think about the people that are going to be competing in these championships or whatever, they're going to buy these games anyways.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not really drawing in like, you know, it's not like, you know, back in the day when... They show the world championships, and that was part of the wizard, you know, and then people are like, oh, shit, you know, fucking competition. And it's like, oh, no, it's real, too. You can actually go try it. And they were, like, at all the it wasn't Blockbuster, no. Blockbuster was a different one. They had that, actually, with there's, like, fighting games and stuff. Was that the world championships, the Nintendo one, or was that something separate?
I don't remember. I feel like Blockbuster did their own thing at one point.
Yeah, because they did their own thing with, like, it was Clay Fighters and fucking NBA Jam and... One year was Ninja Turtles fighting game. I remember they had that, and I remember trying that because I hated NBA Jam. But I like.
What's wrong with you? I love NBA Jam.
I just wasn't good at it. Sports games are not my thing.
Sports games usually aren't my thing either. But the NES and the SNES era had like some of the best fucking sports games between like Blades of Steel, even the original ice hockey, NBA Jam. Like all those games were awesome. What's wrong with you?
They should make them play really old games that are like, I don't know.
They have to play Mario Kart 7, Loki. That's retro now.
It actually is pretty old now that I think of it. Selling Mario Kart 7.
VidPower in chat says, it's surprising that qualifiers are playing Mario Kart 7, a game from 2011. That's when that game came out.
Wow, that's that old?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Sure is. So, and you know, but you know, all this tongue-in-cheek stuff about the world championships aside, I mean... The games they're pushing, Mario Odyssey and you know, Metroid Return of Samus, I'm going to have both those games day one. You better believe it. I'm here for both of that. It's going to be awesome. So
Odyssey looks good. I mean, don't get me wrong. I just wouldn't buy a system for the Metroid game. I mean, the Metroid game looks fantastic. I just can't purchase a system for those games.
And don't get me wrong. I think it's neat that the Nintendo World Championships, like, they're doing it again, but it's just weird timing. I'm not sure what is it they're pushing, unless there's a surprise, but I'm not going to set...
They're pushing esports. Esports, man. Esports. Nintendo can be esports.
I'm not going to set my expectation bar very high for an unveiling or anything like that. But why did they put it on ice for, like, what, 25 years? 1990 to 2015, right? They put it on ice for 25 years. And then they decide to bring it back, skip a year, 2 years later. It's just weird. Like, I just don't... Okay, I mean, but I guess I shouldn't complain.
Mario Kart 7 just wasn't ready for 2015.
Ooh. But if I did want to set the bar in FanWank territory, you ready for this? Ready for this? Maybe, because you talk about old games. You keep saying they need to play old games and this thing. What if this whole thing is how they finally unveil not just like the virtual console thing, but Nintendo's whole Nintendo Online program with the 8-bit rewards? What if the twist is they play... Why are you laughing so fucking hard?
I'm laughing because, like, I can just see it now. Yeah, we're going to play this game. We had to download it first off of the Nintendo Network. Ah, oh, fuck! Nintendo Network? Those don't go together. This will never work.
The game gets lag and lags.
I gotta blow on the console. It's like a digital download. It's not playing.
And the final game is Excite Bike, but you'll be playing it across the internet. Here we go. Connecting. Boom, boom, boom.
The final game is Excite Bike. You actually have to play it though from a system that is from the era with the original Excite Bike. They've been stored in a garage and they're fucking dusty as hell. You gotta blow the shit out of that in order to get that thing to work before you can actually play Excite Bike.
Well, I will practice my blowing skills in the meantime then, Loki.
This is that president, he pulled out an air canister. Is this against the rules? I'm going to allow it.
Is it better to blow than suck?
Why does he have chapstick? All right, let's move on to another story.
Girl.
Let's talk about a different company. I want to talk about Microsoft and some of the things they're doing because, hey, we have a soft spot in our hearts for the Xbox Live indie games, right? Oh, which yeah. was the XNA games on 360. And the reason why we love it so much was because of Bungie Ferret Tossing, which was a game.
Among that, other things, yeah.
Which was a game that YYR made that, you know, features our little logo in it and, you know, all that stuff. So
it's Snake
really
360,
cool.
Can't forget.
That's right. Plug for all the YYR games. Falling was there too, so plug. But then there was also, like, there was just some real dumpster fire games available.
There was also some games that were pretty shitty, but they're still entertaining to play. Like, yeah. There was, like, all the Minecraft clones.
Games that are so bad, they're good.
Yeah, they had sure. some decent stuff on there. Like, I bought some games on there.
Well, we knew that the program is going away. In fact, I think it's next month. It's done. Like, you can't buy games anymore as of, like, next month, I think it is.
As long as I can still play them, that's...
Well, once they're downloaded to your console, I'm pretty sure, you know, they're there forever. Even
but as I have to download...
Even Game Room, you can still do that. But, yeah, I'm pretty sure you can still do that. It's just you can't buy any new ones. So a lot of people have been asking, is Microsoft ever going to replace this? What's the deal? Well, it turns out, yes, there is going to be a different version of this that's coming to Xbox One and Windows 10. It's called the Creators Collection. So I believe it's going to use Unity now instead of XNA. So that's, you know, a big change. But a lot of games are made in Unity now. So, you know, that shouldn't be a huge surprise that they're kind of getting away from the XNA. ID at Xbox, the director of that, has explained this as: the Creators Program was established to enable developers to directly publish their games, any of their games, to Xbox One and Windows 10 PCs with a simplified certification process and no concept approval required. Developers that publish through the Creators Program have the freedom and independence to develop games that are truly unique, resulting in a collection with games that can be quirky and have varying degrees of polish, but are always interesting. That is such the politically correct way of saying, get ready for some crap.
That's the way they're saying, like, yeah, we really want to promote your independence and creativity. It's more of, we just don't want to fucking curate any of that shit. Well, if there's, like, you know, Nazi propaganda or something, yeah, we may get around to taking that out of there, but, like, we don't fucking care. They're not going to put a body
Fart
on
Fart Simulator 2017, let's do it. Why not?
Oh, that's already a thing.
So, yeah, obviously. No, and to be, you know, I'm talking about, like, wow, it's just going to be this wasteland of garbage. I mean, to be fair, the iTunes App Store and Google Play are very similar. There's a lot of fucking garbage.
It's an absolute wasteland of garbage.
But there are some diamonds in the rough. Obviously, there are apps that we use every single day. There are games like...
Yeah, like, for example, we don't judge Steam by its, you know, by everything that's on it. Because there's a lot of shit on there. Mm-hmm. But overall, it's decent. Same with this we should give, you know, the benefit of the doubt, because yes, there will be a lot of crap on it, but guess what? You don't have to buy the crap.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see what comes of this. But I mean, to be fair, like, this is, you could publish your game, Loki. You always hype, you talk about your game here on the show. Now you have a place where you could put it and people could actually play it. We could, I think we can. We would be able to make a VOG app, I think, right? Like something where you could like listen to VOG through Xbox One.
I mean, I don't know if it would let you do that.
You can already do that with TuneIn anyway. Maybe not, because it might not be able to let you go online. I guess you'd have to stick with the TuneIn app to do that. But, well, Flappy VOG could be a standalone game,
oh,
right?
Please don't.
But it could. It could. If Bobby, the creator,
it
wanted
could,
to.
It could. It shouldn't.
What was the line from Jurassic Park? Just because they could. Nobody stopped themselves to ever ask if they should.
And they shouldn't.
Let's see. SSGO100 Matt in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, how fast until the first porn game comes out? Already being created.
Well, they can't because that's against the rules. But, I mean,
there's way. Highly suggestive.
Life romance, finds a way.
Romance Simulator 2017. Or vibrating controller.
Exactly. Yeah. It's all about the massage controllers that's a thing.
That's right. Exactly. All right. So we have that to look forward to. As much as we tease it, you know, there are a few like real diamonds that turn out of these places, you know, and there are indie games of a level like, you know, that kind of come up through these ranks, like Stardew Valley was an indie game that's, you know, huge everywhere now. Five Nights at Freddy's was made in a game creator software thing, and now it's huge, is everywhere. You know, so it's not to say that just because it's this wasteland is that everything is going to be garbage.
But you also
are going to have to rely on word
of mouth. Also have to recognize that some of the things you may make are terrible and really shouldn't be released on a commercial platform like this.
Or anywhere at all.
No, I wouldn't say anywhere at all. There's places for it, but like, some things that people make, like especially if they're just like, I'm just going to cobble together a bunch of pre-made assets into like this very basic game that doesn't really function, and I'm going to sell it for money. That, no, don't do that.
Please do not do that.
Please do not do that, because I've seen plenty of those games covered. There's plenty of them on Steam, and they're fucking garbage. And it just, you're better than that.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase SWORD.
S200 Matt says the Techno Kitten Adventure games. Oh, remember when that was new and shiny and fun? And whatever happened to that? I feel like he sold it to somebody else.
He jumped the shark.
Yeah, they kind of ran it in the ground. All right. Anyway, let's move on. Dar Sakura, how about a different story?
Yes. Well, I brought this up when we talked to Bobby, but do you remember the Metroid 2 remake that Nintendo requested to be taken down?
Of course I do, because I was, you know, well, I would say I was mad, but it's one of those things where it's like, well, we were just all waiting to see how long it was going to take. Am I right?
But it's on the internet, so it's always on the internet.
That's right.
Well, the creator of this fan game, Milton, I'm going to mispronounce the last name, Guasti, just got hired by Moon Studios to work on the sequel to Ori and the Blind Forest, which is going to be called Ori and the Will of the Wisps. So that's pretty cool. Basically, they really like what they did. They said he was a, quote, incredible talent, and he passed whatever test that they gave him with flying colors and decided to hire him because he, quote, gets it.
So kind of a happy ending in a way. I mean,
yeah.
What's interesting about Ori, too, is that it's a bit of a Metroidvania type of game in itself. I mean, obviously, it has a very different look to it and the way it plays and everything. But it's a bit of a Metroidvania game, so it's not too off the beaten path from Metroid. So interesting how there was a legitimacy to this game, like big time, and now this guy has a career out of it, which it isn't the first. Well, I don't know about fan games like this, but I'm thinking mods.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, like Dota 2 came from.
And even that, like the Skyrim mods and stuff, they've had a lot of people that made some of the major Skyrim mods, or even, I think, even before that, Oblivion mods that went on to make you know, other things for the game, like worked on some of the expansions and stuff. Or now, because Bethesda's pushing it, we can make that paid DLC mods shit that they're doing. Don't forget that. That's still a thing. Thank you, Bethesda.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think, you know what, though? Good for him. He was able to take a bad situation for him. I mean, a cease and desist is no fun. And turn it into something good. So, congrats.
And a lot of us already downloaded the remake.
Exactly. It didn't really stop anybody, but nope. Okay. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. All right, moving on. Logie.
So, Capcom just recently released Mega Man Legacy Collection 2. And with that, of course, like the last one, they had like an art gallery, which featured concept art from various games that were featured in the collection. However, there was one piece of artwork that was filed under Mega Man 8 that people were like, wait a second, this doesn't look like anything that was in Mega Man 8. What the hell is this? And so people are wondering that this may not actually be Mega Man 8. It may be something that's for another Mega Man game. Because the art style, for one, doesn't resemble Mega Man 8. It actually resembles character design from like the Mega Man Battle Network games. And so it kind of features Mega Man with this giant kind of segmented hand instead of his, you know, Buster arm or something like that. So that's kind of neat. Hopefully it's a teaser for a new game. I don't know. I mean, who knows what it is? And Capcom's made mistakes before, so.
Or was it just something where they were making a different game? Because, you know, obviously, between Mega Man 6 and 7, they shifted platforms, right? 7 was on the Super Nintendo, and then between 7 and 8, it shifted over to the PlayStation. So, and then, you know, there was a big, long period between 8 and 9. The series was essentially done after 8, and then it didn't come back, until it was, retro is cool again, and the download stuff when Mega Man 9 happened, and they kind of went back to that retro era. So maybe this was something that was being planned after 8, like the first Mega Man 9 that was maybe really supposed to be a continuation that just ended up getting canned or something.
Who knows? But, like, we still don't know what it is, and people are kind of letting their minds wander as to what it is.
Fanwank,
of course.
Yay! Of course, why not? All right, moving on. Speaking of Fanwank, hey, Fanwank sometimes leads to some good things. Like, you know, again, kind of a running theme here. You got the Metroid 2 guy that got the job doing Ori and the Blind Forest sequel. Well, Sonic Mania is on its way. And if I remember right, didn't Sonic Mania kind of come from a fan project?
Yeah, it's a fan-made game, actually.
Yeah, so Sonic Mania is now a legit Sega release that's about to happen, and that's pretty cool. In fact, part of Sonic Mania, which is coming out, it's coming out next week for almost everybody, except the PC version got delayed a couple more weeks. But they're doing this thing where if you had already pre-ordered it, you get Sonic 1 for free on Steam, or you get a key to give to somebody else if you already have it. Like, they're trying to really apologize for that, but I guess some of the optimizations have to be tweaked out.
It looks good.
Yeah, no, it does look really good.
Have you seen the intro yet?
Yeah, I have. I want to check it out.
Yeah, the intro looks fantastic. I mean, this is how you put together a Sonic game.
Yeah, I'm excited to try it. And then, I don't know if you saw this, you see some of the video of the competitive multiplayer? Because it looks exactly like it did in, like, Sonic 2, with, like, the squeezy screen and everything like that. So, yeah, you can actually challenge your friends locally and play that. So that's really cool. So in fact, I'm trying to see if I can get a picture of it here in the studio for you guys. Yeah, there it is. So you can see it's like squishy, like the old, like it used to look when awesome. You played Sonic 2 on the TV. So that's really cool. So, yeah, I'm excited for Sonic Mania. Darsaka, you like Sonic 2. Is this something that catches your eye? You want to check this out? Maybe?
I might. We talked about it.
Yeah.
It might happen.
All right.
And the best part about it, though, it's not a full price game either. It's only $19.99.
I like that. The price is right.
And it's polished.
For sure. All right, just a few more stories for you guys, then the classic game of the week. Dark Sakura?
Well, you know, when we were kids, didn't you ever want to live in an arcade?
Sure. I could just crawl in a Star Wars sit-down cabinet and just sleep there, right?
Hey, what would, except those Chuck E. Cheese animatronics are kind of creepy.
Oh, yeah.
No, that would have been hell.
Yeah, people probably don't, but kids today probably don't have that fantasy because now we know that those animatronics come alive at night and will kill you. Exactly. So maybe kids today don't have that fantasy like we used to have, Darsyra.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it was reported by Kobe Shimbun that a 30-year-old person named Maihara Kazuki was arrested for trespassing after they found him living between arcade cabinets at a game center in Kobe.
Between arcade cabinets?
Well, yeah, I would reckon, you know, or maybe like how they have some of them in a row, like a long row,
yeah,
or in the circular setup, like yeah, some of the, I mean, I've never, of course, been to Kobe, much less a game center in Kobe, so I'm not sure. But the same guy was also accused of robbery, having broken into a local junior high and to steal money and PE uniforms.
You know what, though?
Those are being sold to perverts.
Well, no, hold up,
if
though.
If it's the girls' bloomers, maybe.
Or it sounds like this guy might just be homeless, and maybe that's how he was finding clothes to wear. You know, like, I don't want to be at all like Debbie Downer, but this kind of sounds like this is a little more about some guy who was just, you know, doing questionable things in the eyes of the law because he was homeless. As is what it appears to be. Of course, I don't know any of the facts.
He stole about 1.23 million yen, which is right a little over 11 grand. So,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, I can't. No.
Yeah, living in an arcade, probably not a good way to be unnoticed, probably. Yeah, yeah. So, unless, I don't know, if I was a Dave and Buster's, I would crawl in that giant life-size crane machine. I think that would be the place for
surrounded
me.
Surrounded by, yes, the stuffed animals would keep me warm.
Exactly, we hide. Mm-hmm. So there you go. Anyway, all right, well, look, I hope this guy is okay and gets whatever help he needs. So we'll see. All right, moving on. How about something else about the police, Loki? Let's keep a theme going here. Who else got arrested?
So there's a company that's in Santa Clara, California, by the name of the Coin Op Store, and they were selling counterfeit Pac-Man and Galaga and Tank Battalion machines. So they were creating forgeries of those and selling them as new. And apparently, they were also selling cabinets containing 60 to 3,000 counterfeit games preload on them. Which, I mean, like, fuck, there's like so many retailers out there that sell those multi-cart things.
Wasn't one of the people arrested in Folsom, which is here locally, like not that far from me? I almost feel like when I read that story, like, because there's a whole group of people all throughout California.
I know there's a kind of a MAME cabinet classic arcade, yes, in quotes, you know, company that is in Folsom.
Yes, and one of the people arrested was in Folsom
because they do sell those multi carts. Fuck, I had one. I bought one of those carts for a Neo Geo 60-in-1 cart for my arcade cabinet when I got in it.
Well, I remember. Okay, I was looking for, I think at some point I got a bug where I was looking for a baby Pac-Man machine. Remember, I came really close. Like, remember that Darkstalker? I actually was like, can I talk to Dan? Because I know he's really serious about this collecting, and remember there was one I was like really serious about because it was here locally, and I almost did it. But when I was looking for that, and then I ultimately decided not to do it because there would have been a big risk involved with that. I was looking at maybe a cocktail machine, right? Because those are those cocktail cabinets, right? The sit down ones, right? Because yeah. I remember there was a yogurt store when I was growing up that had like a Miss Pac-Man cocktail and a Time Pilot cocktail. So I'd like to have one of those. I think it would be fun.
Yes, so there was one person, one of the individuals was from Folsom.
Yeah, so I was looking.
Ryan Loesch.
So I was looking for cocktail cabinets, and like a whole bunch of this, like 60 games, 3,000 games, all this stuff was coming up, and it was being sold in Folsom. And I was like, oh, that's not that far from here at all. Somebody must be putting together MAME cabinets and selling them in Folsom.
Yeah, the ones he was selling was actually MAME cabinets. These are, the thing is like.
Well, typically, some are legit. You can do like an ultra. There's an Ultracade type thing that's legit. So I'm not saying that all these multi games and, you know, one things are not legit. There's plenty of these Ultracade-esque things. I think even Costco sold something like this for
like,
a while.
I want to say, you know, like websites. There's several like arcade game websites that sell legit cabinets. Like when I was looking for like DVR cabinets and stuff. There's some websites that will sell those, and they'll sell these multi-cart things, which aren't legit, but, you know, I don't know.
Stoppy in chat says, Folsom, well, at least they won't have to travel far. I think that's a might be a joke about the prison that they have in Folsom, which is kind of infamous because of a certain country western singer that did a very famous concert there. Yeah, I mean, well, although usually if I don't know, would that be considered a federal offense at that point? Because they were selling those cabinets probably all across the country. Because a federal offense, I think, gets you taken somewhere else.
I don't know.
All right. Well, anyway. All right. Let's move on. I got one more story for you guys before we get to the classic game of the week. And this is about a classic game of sorts in itself. Blizzard is working on, apparently, still Warcraft 3. That's right. 15 years after the release of Warcraft 3, there are some changes coming to Warcraft 3. There is a public test realm that is being, piloted for Warcraft 3. So this is going to be testing new map pools for 1v1, 2v2, 3v3, and 4v4 multiplayer. There's also supposed to be updates that address slow matchmaking. I can't imagine there's tons. I guess Warcraft 3 probably.
What exactly is slow matchmaking compared to like when that originally came out over dial-up?
I was going
to
say,
like,
most people like, probably don't.
I think your expectations are maybe a little too high. If
I guess there's probably still a big enough audience for this, though, probably especially globally. Sometimes I have to remind myself that in other countries, sometimes the technology and everything, because the computers might not be as easy to get as they are here. So sometimes, like, you know, especially in other countries, this stuff is still popular. So I think that's something I have to remind myself. But anyway, some updates that address slow matchmaking, lag, automated tournaments, and ladderboard, all of this being planned as well. Now, to be fair, Blizzard did patch not that long ago. Diablo 2, I think, was patched. So this isn't unheard of for Blizzard to go back and update old games, but it is still kind of one of those, wow, a public test realm for a game that's that old. Must be a testament to the staying power of things like this, right? For sure.
It's also good, a lot of goodwill for your company. Yeah.
In the year that you're releasing a StarCraft makeover, let us not forget, Blizzard is doing the StarCraft HD. They don't want to call it a remake because they're swearing by it is StarCraft. The only thing we have changed is the graphics, pretty much. So that, but that whole release is out this year too. So something to look forward to. Maybe this is to make people aware of that.
Into that. I mean, retro is nice and all, but the kind of it's like the Hollywood. Okay, we run out of ideas. Let's just remake everything.
Well, but StarCraft is kind of in its own league. I mean, even with StarCraft 2, the original StarCraft is still as big as it is. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
There's that to consider. All right. Well, speaking of classic games like Warcraft 3, it's time for the classic game of the week. And I think Darsakra found a game that's even older. So she's going to step into the gaming vault and find a game that she thinks is worthy of your attention this week. Darsakra, what is the classic game of the week this week?
The New Zealand Story. Have you ever heard of it?
I have. I don't know if I want to spoil how I heard, but it was in a retro game collection I had on Xbox, basically. I think it was Xbox.
Well, the New Zealand Story came out in 1988 in the arcades, and it was developed and published by Taito. You play as a Kiwi named Tiki, a little Kiwi bird, who has to save his girlfriend Fifi and other Kiwi friends who have been Kiwi-napped by a blue leopard seal. And so you have to go through the levels, which are kind of maze-ish, and trap different or rescue different Kiwis that are trapped in the cage. So basically you have to get Tiki through the level, avoiding fire and spice because Tiki only takes one hit, and save each of his little Kiwi friends. And you get different weaponry. You can get arrows, but you also can change them into bombs, lasers, or bouncing fireballs, because as we know, Kiwi are known for their projectiles.
Yes, I was just thinking about that the other day, actually.
But each of these weapons have, of course, different abilities. You also can ride different vehicles, like balloons, blimps, and UFOs. Because also, a little known fact, Kiwi travel to outer space a lot. Anyway, and you can steal them. So Kiwi are also notorious vehicle thieves.
Look out for them Kiwis.
The levels are pretty big. They scroll in multiple directions. You have to explore all over the place. Just really, really expansive. And you have warp portals as well that take you to hidden parts of the game. And then you sometimes, if you get killed by a projectile weapon in later levels, you get sent to heaven. Because all good Kiwis go to heaven.
Where do bad Kiwis go?
Up your butt. You also can get a special ending for playing through the heaven route of the game.
What the hell? I'm sorry. He just got eaten by a whale.
Yeah.
And he had to shoot his way out of the whale.
Yeah.
What kind of drugs are these people on?
Pinocchio drugs.
I see.
Well, let's see. The Kiwi's real name is Jonah. There you go. You also, though, have like some things that we've seen in other games. If you take too long to clean the level, you get a hurry-up warning. And you can get a power-up by collecting letters that spell extend, like from Bubble Bobble. The game did have conversions to other home units. Ocean Software did computer versions as well. There was the... NES version was put up by Software Creations it was published in the PAL regions by Ocean, but in North America it was published by Taito as Kiwi Craze with a K instead of the New Zealand story. It was also included in the Amiga 500 Batman pack that came out in September 1989.
Because Kiwi teams up with Batman, apparently,
and
sometimes.
Rides UFOs and steals things. We did have conversions that came out on the FM Towns and the Sharp X68000 systems. There was a Sega Mega Drive version, only came out in Japan, that was based off of the prototype version of the arcade game. And then, in more recent days, we've had the Taito Legends pack that... brought it out for Xbox, PS2, and PSP, and PC.
That's where I played it, finally. It was the Taito Legends pack, yeah.
The PC Engine port was released for Wii Virtual Console in Japan. Tiki the Kiwi also appears in other Taito games, such as Liquid Kids, Bubble Symphony, and also Fifi is in Bubble Symphony, and Pop and Pop.
And let's be real, ought to be a character in Smash Brothers. Am I right?
With his stealing of things.
Yes.
And bombs. The game was remade in 2007 by Rising Star Games as a Nintendo DS remake titled New Zealand Story Revolution. Came out in Australia and Europe. In North America, it was published... hold on. Yeah, as New Zealand Story Revolution as well. In Japan, it was released as New Zealand Story DS. And it uses the dual screens for showing you different areas. And you use the touch screen to open doors and use secret buttons or actually flicking Tiki to safety. You also have a four-player wireless mode, normal and expert game modes. And better graphics and better background music. Tiki can also take several hits and can shoot at an angle. The game was considered pretty well across the board, considered addicting, although the ZX Spectrum versions were considered not as great. The Nintendo DS one received... pretty average reception, but they said that some of the special features they put in it were poorly implemented. And there you go.
All right, there it is, your classic game of the week, the New Zealand story.
I think that we should adopt
Was Tiki. It actually from New Zealand, though?
He was a Kiwi. Well, that's about as... Unless Hobbit's run by, I won't believe it.
I just feel like it might be false advertising. This story was not actually from New Zealand.
Maybe we should adopt Tiki as our mascot.
But we have the ferret.
The ferret is dead. I actually do have another ferret somewhere. Somewhere.
We'll have to find that and bring that up.
There was like four or five of them at one time.
There was the wolf ferret. And there like the other ferret. They weren't really ferrets, but they were
I'm sure there's one in a box somewhere.
I'm going to order another one.
And like a Nintendog, it will still be there waiting for me when I find
it. I found one of my Nintendog swag from
E3. Good job.
Like it still has the little like card on it and everything.
And then we'll stab it and say, for the watch.
All right. Look, we're going to take a break. When we come back with more of Orange Lounge Radio, rapid fire news and what?
It is a well-known fact that a tiki do carry an arrow to dinner.
We'll be back with more of such wit here at Orange Lounge Radio. Your calls as well at Orange Lounge Radio on Skype and any emails. I don't know if we got any, but we'll do any emails we have. When we come back after this quick break with more of Orange Lounge Radio right after this. Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio live tonight, episode number 696 for this August the 13th of 2017. Wow, we're looking almost at episode number 700 coming up in a few weeks. It's probably, let's see, next week is 696, 698, then after Dragon Con is going to be 699. So it's going to be about mid-September would be episode number 700 at this point, if you can believe it.
That quick?
Yeah, it's coming up that quick. Well, it was supposed to be. It would have been the week before DragonCon, I think, if we hadn't, you know, the hiatus hadn't happened. So, yeah, that sounds about right, mid-September. So we'll have to see if we can do anything special for it. I should talk to our pals over at the Square One thing and see if we can do, like, a live thing. I think it would be fun. So that we could open it up and have some people show up. Would anybody show up, though? I don't know. We'll see. There's got to be some. We'll have to invite some people. Like, hey, you should come. Yeah, so we'll get
video
some people.
Game bang or something.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Why not? Some of our local podcasting pals. Why not? I think it would be fun. I think they just I think
200
they
episodes.
Hit 100 or 200. It was 200. Yeah. So
200. Yeah, just recently. So congrats to them.
Cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, good for them. That's there's not a lot of shows that get past 10. Let me tell you. So good for them. In fact, Pokestop, I think, barely got past 10. All right. Let's get into some rapid-fire news. Oh, yeah. Good. Thank you, Chatters. Act Def points out just in time for Loki's birthday. That's right. That would be right.
Hey, there you go. Can't have episode 666, but I'll take 700.
There you go. Why not? Actually, is your birthday on a Sunday this year?
It's on a Monday.
Oh, no. That's 699 is going to be the 10th. So it would be, I think, September 17th is the date we're looking at. Because September 3rd is going to be when I'm away at Dragon Con. So it looks like it'll be September 17th.
Unless someone's sick again.
Yeah, unless who knows what might happen. But let's not think like that. Let's think instead about some rapid-fire news. Loki.
All right, so this was kind of an unexpected gift, I guess, but Res Infinite made its way out to PC this week. It's pretty cool and totally unexpected. But yeah, they have it now. It's available on Steam. You can get it at $19.99. They include, of course, you know, the bonus DLC, which is that Area X.
Yeah.
Which isn't really bonus DLC. It's kind of included with the game, but you know, whatever. It does also support VR. And, of course, being that it's PC, 60 FPS gameplay and 4K resolution compatibility. So.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's almost a reason to buy it right there for the 4K and all those mods.
So, awesome. I mean, that is something that's worth checking out. And, of course, you know, along with that, some more stuff coming to the Switch, including the Jackbox Party Packs 1 and 2. Those will be coming on the Switch on the 17th. So later this week.
Very soon.
Very soon, yeah.
That's awesome. I think those games will do very well on the Switch, unless people already bought them other places. But I'm sure there's a new audience maybe that didn't.
Well, they have Party Pack 4 scheduled to release later this year.
Yeah, they were unveiling some of the games. I guess the only game coming back for the fourth one is Fibbage.
Fibbage 3, yeah.
Fibbage 3. All the other games are new. I know they were previewing one called Monster Seeking Monster, which I thought was funny. A little dating game.
I want a sequel to the one that was that killer one.
Trivia Murder Party.
Yeah, Trivia Murder Party.
Yeah,
awesome.
They could do a standalone of that, I bet. Like a You Don't Know Jack style thing.
That would
very
be
well.
A good TV show. You know how they did the You Don't Know Jack thing. I think that would be funny.
Oh, you think Trivia Murder Party would be a fun TV show?
Yeah.
No one, be like super, like, because obviously you don't kill people on TV, but be like a super campy, like, Clue type of thing.
Yeah, like, yeah. I mean, you can get celebrity guests or something like that. Yeah. You just have it, like, silly. Just
why not? Well, actually, now I think about it, I don't know if you guys ever saw this. Jamie, this sounds like something up your alley you might have seen. Did you know over on the other side of the pond, over in Britain, they had Clue, or Cluedo, as they call it over there. They had it as a TV show. It was a full-on, because Joanna Lumley was Miss Peacock for one season.
Yes.
And they would actually do these full, like, acting scenes, and then the contestants would actually, like, grill the contestants about what was, because they were trying to solve, basically, the murder. So, I mean, not that, obviously, that is totally in common with Trivia Murder Party, but murder on a game show on TV has been done before.
Yes.
Is my point.
It would be funny. I think it would be funny.
Yes, for sure. All right. Let's see. Going to chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Bobby Blackwell says, Trivia Murder Party is the game all my friends want to play. And I can't get it out of my head that the announcer for, and this is not everybody's going to understand this, but you're just going to have to bear with me. The announcer for Trivia Murder Party is Travis Donovan doing the DJ Satan thing. Like, it is, I swear to God, like, it's like every time I'm playing Trivia Murder Party, I feel like it's Travis Donovan as DJ Satan. Like,
so it makes it even better.
I know. It kind of does. It kind of does. Anyway, let's see. Dark Tetsuya says, does anyone remember Who Done It? Which was like The Mole, but a murder mystery. Yes, that was just a couple years ago on ABC. That was a neat show. I liked that. You know, it kind of had a bad ending, though, because, not to get too far into game show chat, but too late. The girl that lost, that was the runner-up, knew who the killer was from episode one. And because she did the worst in the final challenge, she got beaten by the guy who had yet to pick the right killer. So it was like, it kind of got ruined by that. But anyway, sorry. I'm totally digressing into something that I don't think anybody actually watched. Okay, VidPower says, I watched every episode of it. So you know what I'm talking about. Like, the ending didn't make sense. Oh, well. Anyway, it seemed like whoever the killer was in that show, it didn't fucking matter. Like, it was just about the crimes every time. Anyway, all right. I wish that show would come back, though. Actually, The Mole, since you brought it up, that's, like, seriously one of my all-time favorite game shows. And it really blows my mind that they can't seem to get that show well-rated. I realized the original Mole was kind of around, I think the season one did fine, and then season two happened right around 9/11. So it got, because Anderson Cooper hosted it, and it was like, it was sassy Anderson Cooper, like rolling my eyes in a gif Anderson Cooper that was hosting that show, and that's what made it so awesome. So then they tried to bring it back with like a couple celebrity versions. Kathy Griffin was on one, which was great, but then they did, they had like another season with, I think they had a sports commentator guy hosting it. It just wasn't the same. Mm. Wasn't the same. They need to get a sass master to host The Mole and bring it back, because that show was bomb. So it was awesome.
We can get William Shatner to host it like he did Rescue 911.
Why? I don't know about Shatner.
Because we don't have William or Robert Stack. He would have been, you know, perfect. But.
I don't know who a good host for The Mole would be. Why not? Let's let a lady try it. You know, it's been a bunch of guys. Why not? Let's let a lady try it and maybe can be a little sassy with it. I don't know. I just don't know who I would see in that role. Aisha Tyler.
Yeah.
Aisha Tyler. That. Why not? That's my go-to game show host. Because she does great with the Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Yeah.
There you go. That's there. I think Aisha Tyler for a reboot of The Mole. Because she can be funny, but doesn't have to be funny. You know what I mean? She can kind of play it serious. But anyway, all right. I'm going way too far down this rabbit
hole.
We'll
have her host it with H. John Benjamin so we can just get the Lana and Archer back and forth.
Let's see. Looking at chat over at live.vognetwork.com, some folks are suggesting. Okay, I'm glad that folks are with the tangent here, because Bobby Blackwolf says John Barrowman. Okay, now talk about a sass master. And then Bobby Blackwolf also mentioned Aisha Tyler. So we're on the same page here. Let's see. VidPower says sass Anderson Cooper was great. Absolutely. The Mole was great before it became Celebrity Mole, says Kaijudo. And Kaijudo says, I will only settle for a Brit as the host of The Mole. What about Anne Robinson from The Weakest Link? What the hell is she doing anymore?
I don't know, but
right?
She
had that one thing. And whatever happened to her, right?
I don't know.
You guys don't remember The Weakest Link, right?
I'm fine with that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think it ran longer overseas in Britain than it did here, but it was big for like a hot minute here. Like that same year Survivor blew up here in the U.S., which is still on all these years later. Like The Weakest Link was huge for like 2 years.
It was kind of on that Who Wants to Be a Millionaire still thing. I mean, I think that's still around.
It was on daytime TV. Meredith Vieira hosted it for the longest time, and then I want to say it went to Cedric the Entertainer was hosting it, but I don't know if it's still doing new episodes. And I might be wrong on the host. I apologize.
I don't know. It's like in syndication, but like it was kind of building off of that hype. So
yeah. So there you go. Oh, Rageinator says Greg Proops.
Yes.
Rageinator, that might be the best comment you've ever made on this program.
He should host it doing the voice he does for Karl Lagerfeld.
I love it. Greg Proops is a great idea.
But he has to do the Karl Lagerfeld voice.
Yeah, I love it. All right. Moving on. Let's move on. We got to get back into some actual gaming news. Oh, yes. Rapid fire news. The quickly done segments.
Right.
Let's talk about Overwatch. Speaking of death, coming to Overwatch is death matches coming to Overwatch. So death matches are coming to Overwatch. In a developer update video, explained that Overwatch is going to be getting free-for-all and team deathmatch modes. So this objective, like in other free, other first-person shooter games, is to get more kills than the opponents. Now, this is a big deal, though, because Overwatch was kind of sold as, I am not that kind of game. And now it is that kind of game.
Yeah, I kind of worry that it's not balanced for that.
It totally isn't. I don't know how that's going to work because, like...
It's like, I ain't playing any of those fucking support characters.
I know, right? Like, how is a character... Like, I'm trying to think of somebody... Like, I would say Mercy. I mean, Mercy does have the pistol, but how is a character like Mercy going to last against somebody like... That's just pure DPS, like Junkrat or something, you know what I mean? So
Junkrat was kind of nerfed the last one of those
episodes. Yeah, but now they're buffing him on the PTR.
Oh my fucking God! I can't keep track of this shit.
I know, but it's a great game. So I mean, it's weird in a way that they're doing deathmatch, but I guess it is something people have been asking for. It's not like it's replacing the regular quick matches.
It's options.
Yeah, it's an arcade mode like Lucio Ball is now. So they're gonna do, which by the way is a lot of fun.
I saw that. It's like I saw a video. I'm like, is that a mod? Is that a completely different game?
It's Rocket League.
It's
Rocket League in Overwatch. But it works because the character of Lucio, I mean, they didn't like change him or anything. They changed his ultimate. That's it to make him move
like,
faster.
Like there's one thing like and this is kind of going a totally different game here. Call of Duty, Modern Warfare, the remaster they did for that. They have that whole I forget what the mode's called now, but it's the one where one round people are inanimate objects that have to hide in the map, and then the other team has to go and find them and kill them. That's fucking hilarious. And that alone, that mode in there, makes me want to buy that game because that looks so awesome.
Yeah.
It's like new shit introduced like that. So let's Overwatch add something like that.
I would like to see in Overwatch be expanded on is the co-op stuff. And they did this during the Uprising event. They had that little mini thing you could play with, what was it, Mercy, Torbjorn, Reinhardt, somebody else, Soldier, somebody, I don't know. It was like four characters that you could do, and like you did like a PvE thing, and I really wish they would expand on that more, or maybe a single player type of experience. But I guess we'll have to stay tuned to see if anything like that is in the future. But yeah, death match, team death match, and all that is no longer off the table. It's going to be put in the game. So I think it's just a lot of people are hoping that deathmatch doesn't influence the regular game. Like, if deathmatch is there and it's completely unbalanced and ridiculous, then they just need to let it stay that way.
I think it's
screw up the regular
more
game.
More of, like, to get people that may have played those other types of games, they're like, I'm looking for something more like that in that game, and they'll buy it, and like, oh, hey, this is cool, I want to try the other modes. Oh, hey, I like the regular mode, yay, I'm in the game now. You know, it's like maybe to get people from other genres.
And thank you for the correction in chat, you guys. It was Tracer, not Solge. Tracer was the other. Of course, Tracer's on the box. She's a big character in the game. But I just remember it was, you know, like the years ago with the beginning of the Overwatch. Anyway, so that is something to look forward to with Overwatch. Back to Nintendo. Nintendo is going to be doing a special panel at PAX West. PAX West, of course, is happening the same time as Dragon Con, so I haven't been talking about it as much on this show, but obviously a huge gaming convention that happens in Seattle. It used to be PAX Prime, but now they are just, they made a full compass out of it, so it's PAX West, and it's going to take place September 1st to September 4th, and the Nintendo panel is happening on Saturday, so no idea who's hosting it, although I would imagine it's going to be the talent, probably the Treehouse people, because, get this, Charles Martinet is at Dragon Con. So he's nice. Not on the panel. So unless he's flying back and forth, which I guess is possible, he might only be there certain days. But it's probably going to be the Treehouse Gang or something is doing that. Or who knows? This is in Nintendo's backyard. Could Reggie Fils-Aimé show up? Miyamoto, don't hold your breath. Don't get too hyped. It'll probably be the Treehouse guys. But even then, might they be announcing something? Could this be a new Nintendo way of doing things? You know, we've never seen them announce something.
Lower those expectations.
Lower those expectations.
Right, well, we still have, like, does Nintendo participate in Gamescom? Because that's right around the corner. We keep forgetting about that.
No, that's true.
Is that this week? Is that next week? I know it's pretty soon.
It's either this week or next week. It's before Labor Day.
And there's supposed to be lots of big announcements out there. Yeah. After all, remember how Sony didn't have shit to show?
Yeah.
They're supposed to be holding back stuff for Gamescom.
Yep.
So let's hear it.
Yeah, it should be an exciting show.
But yeah, I mean, I'd be cool like if they announced something. But I'm not. I don't have like high expectations. I can see like here's a new game mode for Splatoon 2.
Okay, yeah, or a new DLC character in
we're
Arms.
We're gonna do a Splatfest between mustard and relish. I said you guys like the ketchup and
oh. So I didn't talk about this during my gaming week. But I did fucking play that Splatfest, which was mayonnaise versus ketchup, right?
I'm sorry.
Fucking know how I feel about mayonnaise. I fucking hate mayonnaise. I hate it. It is the devil's condiment. It's terrible. And so, like, first, I rolled my eyes when I saw the matchup because I already knew. I said, because this is it. Mayo's going to win. Like, I just know Mayo's going to win. It doesn't even matter what I do or what I play. It doesn't matter. Mayo's going to fucking win. Sure enough, Mayo fucking wins. But why did Mayo fucking win? Because
it's delicious.
Because people actually interpreted the
I'm going to tell Alan to put your Starbucks in the garbage, and then you can dish it out of the garbage and drink it, because if you like mayo, you probably like that too.
So because
Garbucks.
Was it because people actually interpreted, because people are dirty little assholes, and they interpreted the whole event as man splooge and blood?
Well, that was the... Okay, so when they showed the stages and they were like, oh no, Rob, not only are they going to use like one of your least favorite food on the entire planet, but the splatting is actually going to be mayonnaise and ketchup looking things. That was the only way I was able to tolerate Splatfest, was to tell myself, it's semen versus blood, because I would rather that than mayonnaise, which ought to tell you something. Anyway, here's the thing. So I was playing Team Ketchup, right? Every single fucking match I was getting, ketchup versus ketchup. And when I would get a matchup that was Team Mayo, it was like players that were like 13 levels higher than everybody on our team. So it was like the matchmaking in it was shit. It was so bad. I was so irritated by the matchmaking. I looked at my win-loss ratio. During Splatfest, I won 20% of the matches. And that's not even... And before you Team Mayo... fucks come and be like, well, that's because Team Mayo's awesome. No, it's because the matchmaking sucked, and most of those matches were ketchup versus ketchup where the matchmaking still sucked. Like, I would be there with my team and I'd be like, all right, well, maybe we'll get, you know, and then the other team would pop in and it's all like double digit level people, and I'm like, son of a bitch, how is this supposed to be fair? So
something Nintendo Network Online can't do it, fucking stupid.
That was irritating. I was so irritated. Anyway, I already knew. I already knew Mayo was going to win, so I just... Anyway. So we'll see what happens in the next Splatfest. In fact, I was actually thinking that would be a really good listless topic for us, is a future Splatfest. So please look forward to it. That'll be coming in the next couple weeks to the show. What should the next Splatfest be? All right. Anyway, I don't know what else to say with that. So let's move on to some other rapid fire news. News stories done quickly, right, Dark Sakura? What do you have for us?
Girl, I'm not even evening anymore. So, if you like Metroid, there's going to be a Metroid new Nintendo 3DS XL.
Yay!
Buy
yes,
it.
I like Metroid.
200 bones.
I might.
Somebody buy me one.
I might not, but I might buy myself one.
Girl.
Jamie, here's the amazing thing about this. No, this is important. Look, I know this segment's going on way too long, but this is important.
What about Quick?
All right. So we've had this talk on OLR that I'm not convinced I need a new Nintendo 3DS, right?
And you don't need one.
There's nothing. There's no games. I don't need the Super Nintendo emulation. They have, what, two games that require new 3? I don't need it, right?
Mm.
But once they unveiled this, you know what I said?
It shall be mine.
Girl, I need it.
It's the precious.
I need it. So finally, this whole Samus
3DS. But does
3DS-
the system actually come with the game? I mean, it's Nintendo. Of course it doesn't.
Well, I don't know. My Zelda one did, actually.
But the Pokemon
one.
It's
the one I got
didn't.
For Dan.
Hmm. So, but I love my Zelda 3DS. It's so pretty, but Samus.
She's a goddess.
I know.
The goddess of bounty hunters.
I know.
And squishy alien things.
I'm probably going to have to buy it. Anyway, sorry to interrupt, but it was important.
And in other news that no one gives a shit about, Ghost Rider is joining Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite. Because no one gives a shit about Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite.
Yeah, I just can't anymore.
Did you finally jump off that train?
Did you play the demo? Did you play the demo?
No, I didn't. I'm just saving my heart for Dragon Ball FighterZ.
You need to play the demo so you can get that final nail in your heart for, like, you're like, why, Capcom? Why did you do this?
Capcom isn't worried about its fans anymore. They just want to get new people. End of story.
So that's a thing that happened during our break. Dark Sakura got off the Marvel vs. Capcom bandwagon at some point.
Know, I'd rather just go back and play like the second one.
I think most people are exactly where you're at, where it's like, I'll just go back and play the other one, or
the second or third one. Although the third one, I'm still pissed off
because you for a ride.
Because of fucking stupid bad box art Mega Man. Thank you, Capcom, you fucking assholes.
Or I hear more people excited about the Dragon Ball thing as well.
It's a good game.
Yeah.
I mean, oh my God. All right. Now my turn to derail shit.
Fine.
Someone put an animation discussion on YouTube about why it looks so good. And he basically did freeze frames of the animation because it's running in 60 frames, right? You can tell by each pause where ashes and effects in the background are moving, but the characters themselves are moving at a more stilted rate, meaning that they move like animation cells do, you know, with a little bit of, you know, motion line and frame skipping and things like that. So the characters' animations are jump point to point to point in live animation. And that right there is like, that is attention to detail and probably a bit of a programming marvel, come to think of it. They pick up the frames a little bit better in the actual fighting, but just in those introductions and outros and things like that, it follows animation rules down to the effects.
Yeah.
And that is what, first of all, just makes it visually perfect. It looks like you are playing the show.
Yeah, that's so awesome. It's kind of like a totally different type of genre, but like the South Park game, right? Even the first one, The Stick of Truth, mm-hmm. kind of felt like you were playing the cartoon. And now with this new one, I'm sure it's even going to be more so.
Yeah.
So, yeah, for sure. So, anyway, speaking of YouTubes and things of this nature, I have to ask about that. Look, you guys didn't send in any. You had 3 weeks to send us an email. And my understanding is we have no emails tonight, right, Dark Sakura?
So, pretty much.
So fine. You've earned this derailment of tonight's Orange Lounge Radio. So let me ask Loki, because you've been tweeting a lot about YouTube and some of the things you've been watching on YouTube.
Yes.
And so you've been watching, what is this, hour-long discussions about the Ready Player One teaser, right?
Well, no. I watch those occasionally. Like, I want to hear what people – I want to see what people's reactions like were to the trailer. And I, my God, there's these people like, yeah, I read the book, and then this and this and this, and they're getting everything fucking wrong. Like, stuff that they're talking about, yeah, this happened in the book, and it's like fucking wrong. And don't get me wrong, like, I understand where people can make mistakes. However, if you're researching, well, obviously they're not researching shit, because they're just fucking putting out videos.
And to be clear, we never make mistakes on OLR.
Oh, God, all the time. Yeah, but it doesn't matter. I don't research anything. I do this at the last minute, and I don't fucking care. So that's the level of effort you're getting from me. Sorry. I don't get paid for this, so you earn every penny of that. No, but like, the thing I like don't like is, like, of course it's clickbaity shit. Like, these videos are like, yeah, it's every Easter egg in the trailer, every single one of them, except it's not, because it's just the ones that everybody else has said, and you're just regurgitating this shit one more time. So, like, I wanted to, like, I was like, damn it, I'm fucking pissed off of seeing this shit. Like, I wish I could just do a video and, like, do my own trailer analysis of it and actually go into details, like, spoilery shit. Like, you know, there's a leaked script out there, by the way. It's an early draft of the script. But when you read that script and you watch the trailer, you're like, oh, I know what all this shit is because it's in context.
Loki, if only you knew somebody with a recording studio and a green screen.
I was actually, as my backdrop, was going to use my shitty ass garage because I don't fucking care.
Why not? But well, we did OLR in a garage for a while.
I just don't care enough to, like, do all that. Like, and you know, also being tired again. Like, I actually was, like, taking notes. I was trying to, like, get more detail of, like, finding more Easter eggs, like, for stuff in the background. Like, actually researching stuff and trying to figure it out instead of, like, oh, well, this person said it's this. Or, hey, did you notice that there was the fucking Iron Giant there? Did you see that? Because that's totally an Easter egg. Like, how do you fuck? It's not an Easter egg if it's in the big fucking open, okay? That's not an Easter egg. Do you know what a fucking Easter egg is? Easter egg is shit that's hiding in the background that only the true fans would fucking see. That's an Easter egg.
Act Eft in chat. Garage Rants featuring Loki. I know, Loki's sitting on a $1 million idea, but...
Garage Rants. Okay. That's a name.
I like that.
I can do it. I've got a couch in there. It's fucking dirty as shit.
Why? But you expect a dirty fucking couch in the garage.
It's dirty. It's fucking hot. There's cat vomit on the ground. That is where I'm going to film this.
Sounds quaint.
All right. Can't afford a fucking green screen. You get... Garage.
SSG100 Matt says, Grage Rants. Get it? Rage? All right. Anyway, moving on. Let's talk about what's coming out in stores this week, something a little sooner than Loki finishing a project. Loki, what's coming out in the U.S.?
There's actually some pretty good stuff coming out this week, surprisingly. So, ironically enough, since we were just talking about this, StarCraft Remastered actually comes out tomorrow. So,
oh, I didn't realize it was so soon. That's
on PC,
cool.
So check it out.
Nice.
The game that I just can't get hyped about. I've watched every trailer for this. I'm a huge fan of Saints Row, but I cannot get hyped about this game at all, even if they Agents of Mayhem, that's coming out PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One.
I want to try it.
I really want it to be good, but I just...
That's fine. Set the bar low, Loki, and if it's good...
Here's my problem. My problem is originally it was kind of like, okay, it's its own thing. It has no real ties to the Saints Row universe. We're going to put some Saints Row stuff, kind of hints in the background, but it's its own thing, completely different. Oh, by the way, because we're not really confident in this game doing well, we're just going to have Johnny Gat come in there. And we're going to say, oh, it's a fucking Titan with, you know, Gat out of hell because it was one of the endings, even though it wasn't quite one of the endings. But we're just going to tie it to the Saints Row universe because we're scared shitless that a new IP is not going to do well. It's fucking annoying.
There might be other reasons that it doesn't do well. Looking at chat over at live.vognetwork.com, SSG100 Matt says, I forgot about Agents of Mayhem. Dungeon Buster says, whoa, Agents of Mayhem is coming out this week? It seemed to have zero marketing at all. Yeah, I'm thinking they might have a different problem.
It's pretty... It's like their ripoff of Crackdown, basically, which ironically was kind of Saints Row 4.
Yeah.
But I mean, this is even worse to that. I don't know. I will give it the benefit of the doubt. I'm not buying it at launch. I'm telling you that much. I'll get it in a bundle later on.
Fair enough.
City Skylines coming out on PlayStation 4. Matterfall on PlayStation 4. Nihog 2 on PC, Mac, and PlayStation 4. Night Trap 25th Anniversary on PC and PlayStation 4.
So some games don't need to be celebrated. I'm just saying.
Observer. Which is actually, I think, a pretty good game from what I hear. That's on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Sonic Mania on the Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Thank you. And finally, let's see, we have Sudden Strike 4 on PlayStation 4. And finally, The Pillars of Earth, Book 1, From the Ashes on PC, Mac, and Linux, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. But Sonic Mania this week on consoles.
Yeah,
and
exciting.
New Switch game, that's pretty good.
Why not? So I just have to quick. I will get to the Japanese releases, but I do have to just acknowledge the reason why Loki said thank you there in the middle of releases. Alan, being the nice boy that he is, he just brought us all Starbucks, all of us. So I thought it was very nice of him to run that errand.
Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you, Alan. So, all right. Alan's keeping the show running behind the scenes. Let's go to Japan and check out the releases over there. So coming out in Japan on the 17th on the PlayStation 4, Sonic Mania is also being released in Japan. Dragon Quest X, the all-in-one package, also coming out. Dragon's Dogma Online Season 3, some type of limited edition package, is out from Capcom this week on the PlayStation 4. And let's see, Zero Escape, Toki no Dilemma, also out in Japan this week. Checking the PlayStation Vita, believe it or not, I don't think there's anything this week on the Vita. Those releases don't pick up again until the 24th, so nothing to look forward to this week on the Vita. Actually,
what's a Vita?
Well, believe it or not, in Japan, there's still basically the space that you would have dedicated to the Xbox One here is dedicated to the Vita.
I only say that out of sadness because I wish they would release a new Sony system that was actually comparable supported to like a Switch or something.
I understand. So really outside of that, nothing on 3DS or Switch either. So it's somewhat of a slower week, a little bit in Japan. Although there is a Dragon Quest release, but then again, it's kind of a repackaging, so it's not as big a deal. But anyhow, how about the UK, Dark Sakura?
In the UK, we've got a few things. Actually, it's kind of a busy week. On the 15th, Night Trap, blah, blah. On the 16th, we have Bound for PlayStation 4 and Conan Exiles for the Xbox One. On the 17th, we have Zlatan Legends for iOS. On the 18th, we have Agents of Mayhem for PS4, Xbox One, and PC, and Thumper for Xbox One X and Xbox One. Okay. Thumper.
Yeah, the Xbox One X isn't even out yet, so I don't know why.
It says Xbox One X. I'm like,
that's
what?
Weird.
Why?
Yeah, but the system's not. That's weird that that side has it. But Thumper's that cool music game that it's kind of hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's probably most well known in its PlayStation VR form. But it is on the Switch as well. So
it's a hard game.
It's a very hard game. But it's fun. I like it. There's like the music. It's like industrial music, and it's not like commercial stuff. It's all like, you know, it's noise. It's a very noisy game.
Okay,
it's good.
Like experimental, almost.
Yeah, kind of. All right. As mentioned, we didn't get any emails this week. Sad face, or the past 3 weeks, in fact. But if, to be fair, because of the hiatus, maybe you guys kind of just figured, you know, we weren't taking them for a little while. But let me just remind y'all, the email bag is open once again, so please feel free to send your emails. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com if you want to participate with the mailbag segment. So,
yes,
emails open once again. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com. In the meantime, just a few more stories for you guys, then we'll get to the Skype line, another way for you to participate at Orange Lounge Radio on Skype. Loki.
So this is kind of cool. They're actually considering esports as becoming part of the 2024 Olympic Games. Apparently, they are considering it along with you know, including it with new events, because they kind of do this each round. Like when they have a new games coming out, they'll add new events to it. In fact, I think one of the upcoming Summer Games, I think, has like skateboarding or something in there now.
It's, oh, wow.
Like something different. But they're adding new stuff all the time. And one of the reasons that they're considering this even more is because you may not realize, at least I don't, that aside from the Olympics, there's also the Asian Games as well. And that actually isn't being included in the Asian Games. Esports is part of the 2022 Asian Games and the 2018 Asian Games in Indonesia. So that's something that's kind of cool, that this is actually being, you know, adapted in these major... You know,
yeah, I remember 10 years ago when we were focused more on music-based games, and we kept having that whole, is DDR a sport? Remember that? That
was someday, like, it may be.
And
who knows?
One of the Scandinavian countries did make it a sport. I remember that was a big thing we talked about for a while. And we kind of talked about, wouldn't it be funny if DDR was in the Olympics? And we kind of laughed it off that it's never going to happen. But here we are now. The landscape's changed. Esports is growing very, very big, not just with things like Star Starcraft and things like, you know, Dota, but now we see Overwatch and the Overwatch League. I mean, that, you know, is looking more and more like they're trying to do like a, I don't know if I would call it the NFL, maybe more like the XFL. Anyone remember the XFL? But still, I'm still curious really to see where that goes. It looks very exciting. And then so, yeah, it seems like with esports taking off as it is, this, I mean, 10 years ago, I would have said, oh, come on, this is never going to, the Olympics is never going
to
take this seriously.
And that's still kind of like the thing is they're like, they're trying to understand,
yeah,
you know, is it a sport? You know, it's still like kind of
how do we measure it?
How do you
fairly
define a sport? Yeah. I mean, a lot of, you know, in the Olympics, you think, you know, physical sport and stuff. Whereas, but isn't chess in the Olympics? And that's not a physical sport. That's more of a mental sport. Yeah. So
some there would argue there's mental sports.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there is a lot of that in there. I mean, creativity and stuff with even like some of the, you know, the gymnastics routines. I mean, still, I'm not going to argue that that's not physical, but there's a lot of like, you know, designing and creativity and stuff to that, your routines and stuff. So maybe with that strategy and this critical thinking and, you know, quick reflexes, that could tie in with this stuff. I think by the time we get there, you know, especially when you consider that, you know, everybody growing up with gaming and stuff, by that time, I mean, that's, you know, a few years away still. 7 years away, by the way. I mean,
yeah,
that could be more accepted by then.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see how that plays out. And finally, after all these years, the Olympics is coming back to the States officially in 2028. And that's the first time the Summer Games.
Is that L.A.?
Yeah, L.A. They did this weird thing that they don't usually do, but they kind of co-awarded Olympic Games to Paris and L.A. at the same time, basically. I think L.A. still has some dotted lines to sign off on and so forth, but it looking very certain that LA is going to have the 2028 games, which, you know, they hosted in 84. But otherwise, the United States has not hosted an Olympic Games, a Summer Games, since Atlanta in 96.
Yeah,
that was a long time ago.
It's been a while.
They did do a Winter Games. It's Salt Lake City, I think, was the last one in 2002, if I remember right. But even then, you know, that's still going to be like over 20 years without the States hosting. So the only reason I bring that up is because, you know, esports, if it does well in Paris, could be a big part of the LA Games. And, you know, at the end of the day, the Olympics is a business. It needs to make money. And there is sometimes some not so great news about the Olympics out there, and some money, some cities that have lost.
Well, I got to wonder too, like with the Olympics, like maybe they're not drawing the same audiences that they used to anymore. Like they're, you know, losing out in certain demographics. And so,
well,
maybe they're trying to get that younger demographic.
I think so. And I think one of the biggest mistakes that they've been making is specifically NBC here in the States, with the tape delay of the games that are happening in Rio, and when we live in an internet day and age where all that stuff is instant. Like, you know, NBC, I think, is really going to have to adapt their way of thinking for Tokyo in 2020, or they're going to just hemorrhage even more people because of the internet and other ways that people can get this information. So, you know, I think they kind of have to figure that out. But, you know, at the end of the day, yeah, it is a business, but it's also it's a huge part of TV. So if you think about it, if esports ends up a part of the 2024 games, we could see esports on a major broadcast network, NBC, by 2024. There's something to think about. The same network that shows Monday Night Football, right? Does NBC show that? Or did that? Does NBC still show football? Or is that all Fox now and CBS?
I don't know.
But anyway, you get the drift.
Yeah.
The same family of networks that shows Monday Night Football could show.
Speaking
Overwatch
of
or
things
whatever,
that are on TV that's kind of unusual like that, one of the things, as I mentioned, kind of as a tangent, ESPN actually did the ESPN 8, the Ocho.
I heard
for
about
like,
that.
Yeah. Was it like a certain amount of time?
8-8.
Yeah. So they did that for August 8th, and that sounds awesome.
Like, they replayed the fighting game stuff, Evo. They replayed Evo during that. Was
nice.
Part of the block. Yeah. So it's kind of neat. All right. Anyhow, a little bit of a tangent, but we've had some of those tonight. Let's see. Let's get to another story about Capcom. And they're not happy about Street Fighter costume mods. That's because there were some Street Fighter nude mod creators. Well, now, I can't believe Capcom would take issue to this.
What?
Say what? Anyway, so these two modders, Brutal Ace and Caldentar666, I hope I said that right, they had Patreon pages that solicited donations from fans. So I guess they weren't charging for the mods, per se, but it was one of those, if you like these titties, subscribe to my Patreon, basically. Well, the
if
mods...
If you like these titties, you give me those bitties.
I'm gonna put that on my Twitch channel. You like these titties? Give me them bitties. Anyway, except you're not supposed to solicit that stuff on Twitch. But anyway, it's all in fun.
And you've been banned.
All right. And I've been banned from Twitch. Uh-oh. All right. So anyway, one of the mods, so Brutal Ace had a Chun-Li mod, but in a Wonder Woman costume. And let's see, Caldentar had a Cammy mod in 2B's costume from Nier Automata. So obviously there's copyright violations going on all over the place, but... of course, these same modders made naked female fighters or female fighters in string bikinis. There's also risque mods such as barefoot mods and breast jiggling mods.
Oh my God, they didn't have shoes? They were barefoot? How risque?
But nothing for men. Go figure. Nothing for the male fighters in the game.
I think that there are, but it's just, you know, the
but not these guys.
Didn't mention it.
None of these guys. So anyhow, the Patreon page for Caldentar 666 was deleted, along with all the records of the earnings, and so forth. So, let's see, Brutal Ace says he always offered his mod as free downloads, but the Patreon supporters did get 1 week of advanced exclusive access to all new mods. So this creates a whole big issue between Patreon and so forth. So, you know, if you're going to ask for people's money on Patreon, make sure what you're doing is legal.
I honestly don't think that they could do this to his Patreon page, honestly, because I get their thought process. Their thought process is he's charging for mods for our game, and we don't like that. Honestly, though, modding your game is fair use, so kind of fuck off.
Well, but if you're putting up a Patreon page and the centerpiece of that Patreon page is, I will deliver you nude mods early if you give me money, it's kind of walking that line there. I think.
How long has this game been out? There's nude mods already. There's been new mods since, like, the game came
out.
Probably before the game.
5 minutes after it was out.
I mean, come on. Like, that's stupid. Oh, and oh, yes, now that you've taken down his page... Oh, I'm sure that the new mods will never, ever come out. Oh, wait, they've already been out. It's done nothing.
Dungeon Buster in chat jokes Street Fighter V Dead or Alive. You know, you joke, but now that you bring that up, speaking of the whole, like, man mods, I have to say I was pleasantly surprised. I was looking in the PlayStation Store for the new releases, and what is it, Dead or Alive 5 Final Round or Last Round? Sorry, I forget the name of the game. But they released some new DLC, and of course it is the usual lots of ladies in very skimpy types of bathing suits and so forth, what you would expect. However, Dark Soccer, I don't know if you saw this, there were also some men in Speedos as part of this.
Okay.
So I was like, okay, it was nice. It was nice. So,
or like they have the
quality.
Was it the Overwatch?
Of course, there's like two dudes in Speedos.
The Overwatch
and like
summer DLC.
Women. Oh yeah, the Overwatch. Oh, with the McCree, who I've never really paid attention to before. Yes, yes, I did notice that. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I sure did. Anyway, all right. I posted about that on Twitter. Look, I don't even. You know, I don't. Wherever you guys fall on the, if you whatever. Gender you're into or not into or so forth, you have to go, okay, it's nice to have the same for everybody, that folks can have whatever they like. So all right, anyway, moving on, let's get to something a little more retro, a little more classy in gaming, shall we, Dark Saga? What do you have for us?
Are we having the classy game of the week?
Yes, the classy game of the week.
Well, all right, we have talked about this game in various iterations, and there is going to be a Tempest 4000 because
yes.
They're really freaking creative.
Yes.
Actually, it's funny, when we pick up the cat with Midna, we go, got you! Ah! It's become a
joke. You guys are nerds.
It's become a joke in my house. But anyway, it is being developed by Jeff Minter, and it is, yeah, going to be the continuation in Tempest 2000 and Tempest 3000, which I think was not even a fully released game. It was like a prototype.
It was like,
I don't
even remember Tempest. I remember hearing of a Tempest 3000, but I don't remember it
being
released.
I played it at an Atari party.
Okay.
Like, a while back. But basically, you play the claw again, and you have to shoot stuff, and Super Zapper Recharge. So,
will this be coming out on Atari's new system? Since we know the Atari box is coming, wouldn't Tempest 4000 be a great... After all, Tempest 2000 was like the fucking reason to own a Jaguar. Why not?
The only reason to own a Jaguar. It looks like it is going to be coming out for PC and consoles later on in 2017.
This year, really?
Yeah.
That's awesome. I'm excited.
I like this article. Okay, this article is great because, okay, it says we don't have any assets of Tempest 4000, so instead, here's a picture of a llama, and it's a picture of a llama sitting down in the grass.
What site
is
it?
I love this article at Eurogamer.
Oh, Eurogamer. Good.
I love Eurogamer.
It's a good site.
But just, I just had to say, why is there, that's why there's a llama. Super Llama Recharge.
Well, didn't they also, wasn't it like Llama Soft or something? Wasn't there llamas played into it somehow? As well? Because then they had Space Giraffe was kind of like that side game. Anyway. All right. A few more stories for you guys before we open up the Skype line. Loki.
So Valve announced during the whole international 7 match in Seattle that there's a new Dota game coming.
Oh my God. Valve's putting out a new game?
Yes. It's Dota Artifact. It's a card game.
I like, can you say that again? Half-Life, just kidding, it's in a card game.
Yes, the Dota card game, that's going to be coming out in 2018.
All right, well, there's people out, you know what?
And good
for the people that like trading
cards. Like, they had we have a new announcement for you, and everyone's like, yay, boo!
How fast the crowd will turn on you. Hey, look, no, there's people that are really into trading card games that are going to be super thrilled about this.
No, I don't have a problem with them making a trading card game. It's just everybody else is wanting to make a third of something.
Yes. Maybe this was not the best place to announce it, even though it is a Dota kind of game. Who knows? All right.
It's like, Valve, just put three next to something, please.
One more story, and it has to do with a classic game. And this is something brand new unearthed in a classic game. And that classic game is Super Mario Brothers 2, the U.S. version, which was Doki Doki Panic, of course, over on the Famicom. So it was unearthed this week that in the original manual for Doki Doki Panic on the Famicom disk system, there was a gray shy guy that was supposed to be there. If you're not...
I remember this.
Yeah, there was supposed to be a gray shy guy in the game.
Oh, he's a shiny.
Yes, that's right. He's a shiny shy guy, exactly. And what makes him special is that he would actually follow you around. But the character actually never showed up in the game, even though it's on the manual. Well, get this. Somebody was able to use a code on Game Genie to get the character back in the game. And that's right. There is it's an actual Game Genie code you can put together and use on a cartridge. And you'll have to look this up on some of the different blogs like Destructoid
they have different codes depending on the version of the game you have.
Yeah, because I'm not going to read the code. But you can put the code in the game. And sure enough, you will get a gray shy guy in the first level. And the thing is, the shy guy will start to follow you. Like, he does the whole walking forward. But most shy guys in the game just ignore you. You jump over him and that's it. But this shy guy, once you
jump...
What
happens if you ride him? The universe is exploding.
Loki, why we always got to go to the gutter here on this show?
No, no. I mean, you can stand on the enemies. I'm not trying to be in the gutter. You know, just saying.
Know what you mean.
If I was trying to do that, I would say, like, oh, what happens if you fuck him? You know.
Well, somebody on Reddit's working on that. I don't know, because in this video, they don't try that. So you'll have to go get a copy of the game.
Walks back and forth because it's
programming. He probably does. Or just stands in place or continues.
Get off my fucking head. Damn it. You hurt. You're so big. I can't. My skeletal structure cannot handle this.
Tiger Claw chat says, no wonder they call him Shy Guys. And on that note, we're going to open up the Skype line, Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. If you'd like to give us a call and talk about Shy Guys or anything that is on your mind tonight, maybe that we did cover in the news or maybe that we didn't get to. So I will open up that Skype line now. And how about that? Calls are already coming in. So let's get to it. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, what's going on, everyone? It's Rama.
Hey, Rama. Good to have you here. What's up?
Not much. I just finished my 8-hour trek back from Otakon in D.C., so...
Hey, yeah, I've been seeing your Facebook updates from Otakon. How was it?
It was amazing.
Nice. I'm glad you had a good time.
Thank you.
What kind of, like, video game stuff do they have there? They have a gaming room, or...?
I'm going to say this really quickly, Dan. I'm going to tell you why I called it. The game room was huge. Old school gaming, plus there was mini LAN tournaments set up. It was a few DDR arcade machines. It was a couple of dance machines, a whole bunch of Jubeat machines. And I will say this, it didn't stink.
Okay. People were applying their deodorant and taking showers daily. That's great.
Let's just hope that they did. When I walked to the game room, there was no smell.
It was a well-ventilated space then, maybe. All right, so why did you call?
Because I was listening to y'all on the way home, and you were talking about the Nintendo World Championships, and I remember those, which in turn, for some reason, it reminded me of when I was leaving the dealer's room earlier. They had a little setup, one of the booths. They had a very interesting VR game. It was... I looked at it like, how to sex your waifu? Because that's pretty much what it was. You had this little
blow-up information.
You had this little blow-up doll-looking thing. You had the VR glasses on, and there were people watching this guy, I guess, pretty much screw this schoolgirl.
Were there sensors on the doll? Did you have to dry hump the doll? Because that's awesome.
I don't know, but I'll tell you this, there was no sensors. But, now that I got that out the way, I don't know why that reminded me of it. Maybe because gaming tour. I don't know.
Yes. Why did How to Screw Your Waifu make you think, God, I need to call OLR?
Do you understand how much booze has been in my system since Thursday night?
Fair enough.
But I remember the Nintendo World Championships, and I wanted to go, but I couldn't. I remember the Blockbuster gaming competitions, and one of my friends went. Because he scored the highest in the area, so I went with him down to the South Street Seaport where he did NBA Jam. But the thing is, they threw him on the Genesis version, so it was a little bit hard for him to play. But he was playing with two hands, whereas he was using his fingers to control the game instead of his thumbs.
That would suck, though, that if you're used to one version of the game and they throw you another. Like, they weren't the same back then. It's not the same.
I know.
The timing and the frames and all that stuff was different, so that's kind of crappy, but you know, but still kind of awesome that you got to do that. Yeah, I have a lot of friends that did the World Championships. I didn't really get to do any of that. I don't know. I don't think they really had them. I mean, they might have done the Blockbuster thing here in Sacramento, but we never really went to Blockbuster ever. We had like indie stores that we usually always went to, and then the World Championships, I highly doubt were ever here. And it was just the kind of thing where it's like my parents really weren't interested in taking me to San Francisco or anything like that. So,
well, I got lucky because I don't know if you remember, there was one tournament that they had that I had an amazing time at. Do you remember the Superstar Fox Weekend?
I do remember that. I do, because those cartridges are super rare if you can find them.
I know. And if you went, and I believe if you ended up with the highest score that day, you got a T-shirt. I went to two locations and got two shirts.
Good job. That's awesome.
But unfortunately, someone outscored me in both places for the entire weekend. So.
Oh.
That's all right. They can make that modern now. It's like, I went to pre-order an SNES Classic, but all I got was a shirt.
I wanted to play Star Fox 2, but all I got was disappointment and resentment.
Son, I am disappointed.
I'll just wait for the ROM to leak.
Yeah, I know.
Immediately.
Immediate. All right. Well, Rama, I'm glad to hear you had a good time at Otakon. And I'm getting really excited about Dragon Con. I'm hearing from what I believe I was reading, I heard that Tokyo Attack is going to be back at Dragon Con and that their space is increasing this year. So there's going to be more of it. So I'm really excited.
That sounds pretty awesome.
So you know where to find me at Dragon Con when I'm not in a panel.
Yep, in the game room. What a nice refreshing adult beverage, right?
Correct. All right. Well, Rama, I'm going to let you go so we can take more calls.
Awesome, man. Thanks a lot,
bro. Great to hear from you. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. If you want to get through, going to chat over at live.vognetwork.com. SHO 100 Matt says Tokyo Attack won't be back at MAD. Won't be at MAGFest, sadly. Yeah, I heard about that. I was concerned about that. You know, I'm sure they have some type of other plan they're going to do, and it's going to be different. But if these other shows are happening over the country, all over the country, like, you know, the California Extreme and the Southern Fried Game Room, I'm sure in the D.C. area they're going to figure out how to do it just fine. It'll just be different. It probably just won't have the focus on the Japanese games that it has in the past, but they'll probably have plenty of old school games and pinball and all that other stuff, so that'll be cool. Hitstun in chat suggests Snow Phoenix. I've not heard of Snow Phoenix. That must be a new company. Somebody start sending Snow Phoenix to these big cons. They have a lot of Tokyo Tax games. I was not aware, so I guess these con arcade companies are a growing business, but it seems like there's more cons now than there were years ago when we first started the show. I just mean like local stuff. Like it seems like there's some little con in Sacramento like every weekend. So that's kind of neat. So, all right. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype again if you want to give us a call. Let me check in quickly while we do this last wait for calls here and see with Loki if there's any last minute stories. I don't know if you have anything tonight.
No, just like silly Twitch stuff. There's some dude that goes by the name A Twerky Yoshi. That's playing Bloodborne using a game or dance pad.
Why not?
Because, you know, that's the thing.
Why not? Sure, why not? How did he hook up the dance pad to a PlayStation 3 or 4?
They have, I don't know, there's ways to do that kind of stuff. But, like, they had, it shows, like, how they have the buttons mapped. So they've got, I guess, attack. Can you only move to one direction? That's weird. They've got, like, dodge on the X button. There's L1 on the triangle, R3 lock on the square, and L2 on start and select as potion.
Well, you can remap all the buttons within the PlayStation 4 operating system.
And apparently, right is attack, so he can only move left, up, and down. So
interesting.
I don't know. I guess that's the thing.
SJ100 Matt in chat says, I remember having a party where we played Mortal Kombat with DDR pads. Good times. Was there any, Jamie, I'm trying to think way back to the parties that used to happen at your house with, like, your Dreamcast dance pads. Were there any other games that were played with dance pads besides DDR? I thought there was something. And not the Jungle Book doesn't count.
Soul Calibur.
Yes, because we found that the Konami logo is an analog pad.
Ah.
And so we would play, we would try to play Soul Calibur with
it?
The dance pad. Yeah.
On a dance pad?
On the dance pad. On the Dreamcast dance pad.
Oh.
So.
Kind of weird.
Yeah, super weird.
Yeah. But anyway, I think that's what else we ever used the Dreamcast dance pads for.
But Rod Calibur was your
Rod
favorite.
Rod Calibur
yes.
was great. Because it is literally just moving the fishing rod and praying.
Shaking.
Because it would move them too.
Yeah.
So, this is so crazy.
Good times. All right, we got another call coming in, so let's get to it. Hi. Oh, it's... All right, so as soon as I picked up the call, it went, nope, just kidding, disconnect. So let me see if that person calls back. Meanwhile, I'll read some comments in chat. Hitstun in chat says, I played an arcade Tekken 5 on a dance pad once. It had PS2 controller ports. Dark Tetsuya says, I bet you could do Soul Calibur. Yeah, it works with the keyboard, too. And let's see. SG100 Matt says, one of my friends managed to pull off a fatality on a dance pad. I forgot who he pulled off. We've got to be somebody easy, like Katana. I still remember to this day, block, 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 high kick. It's just buttons. The ones that are buttons only and you don't even have to move your character are probably much easier to do. But yeah, that's Katana's fatality. I can still, because you just slam the block button a bunch of times and then hit high kick. Super easy to do. At least that's Mortal Kombat 2. Important. Oh, SG100 Matt says, it was Mortal Kombat 1. That is what I do remember. Sonya's fatality was pretty easy in that game. Forward, forward, back, back, block. I don't know how do I remember that? I don't know.
Reasons.
Sub-zero, toward down, toward high punch, or was low punch? One of the two. So, all right. Well, sadly, I don't think the calls are coming back in, so I'm going to go ahead and shut down the Skype line for tonight, and I think we're going to go ahead and start to wrap up tonight's show. But I do want to thank you guys again for being with our show tonight. Thank you for being back after we've been gone for a little bit. I really appreciate you guys being back here. If you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, please tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice. But if the voices aren't here, we can't share them. So thanks for all you guys that showed up here live, and thank you guys that checked us out on the podcast feed as well. If you enjoyed us on the podcast feed, a nice 5-star review wherever you found this show, on iTunes or Google Play or wherever it is you found the show, those reviews go a long way, trust me. So we really, really appreciate all of that. That's really all I can think of for now, so I think it's time to go around and get everybody's final thought. Loki, I'll start with you. Your final thought tonight.
My final thought is I am going to try to work on my games again. I'll have to figure out what I want to work on, basically. That's it. Whether I keep on working on what I started with the Game Jam or if I go back to one of my other projects.
All right. Dark Sakura, your final thought tonight.
I was reading about the Silent Hill song.
What's the Silent Hill song?
From the revenge ending for Silent Hill 3.
Oh.
Silent Hill.
Yeah,
no
yeah, yeah.
Uta,
I remember that.
Nina de Uacho. Yeah.
And then my final thought tonight would just be thank you for being here, and it's nice to be back. So thank you guys very much for everything. That's going to do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. So have a great week. We'll be back in 7 days to do it all over again. Until then, good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.